ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, lovers and children, Dana D'Armond is in the house.
Yay.
Give it up for Dana. Dana and I are e-pals. We tweet each other back and forth, but this is our first time actually meeting each other in real life.
Cool.
You're very funny. You say some funny shit on Twitter.
Thank you.
You said you had a really funny thing where you broke down this Jennifer Aniston, what's his name? Adam Sandler movie. It was really
just
funny.
Just go with it.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you can get
it's
it
on YouTube.
It's on YouTube on your, does it say just don't go with it?
Just don't go with it.
Yeah.
It's YouTube.com.
It's really funny and really like you broke it down like a comic would break it down. Like how ridiculous it is. First of all, I thought it was hilarious that you said that Jennifer Aniston was the human equivalent to oatmeal.
She's so bland and like.
But that's perfect. You know, that is absolutely perfect.
It's like she's nutritious.
I would have said like a grilled
really
cheese sandwich.
Exciting.
I would have called her a grilled cheese sandwich.
But there's a grilled cheese sandwich truck. You don't see an oatmeal truck anywhere.
You're right.
No,
you're totally
lines.
Right.
Nobody lining up for a
I would give her more credit
bullets.
Than oatmeal, is what I'm saying. I think you're being a little unfair. I'd give her a little more than oatmeal. But I know what you're saying.
Meh.
But, you know, I wonder.
I got this, no love for Jennifer Aniston.
She's just a chick trying to get some money, doing her acting thing.
And
she's
now she's
probably
got a
nice.
Viral Smart Water video, and she's
really?
Trying to like be with all the YouTubers and like make a viral video to
Let
advertise
her go
Smart
do
Water.
Her thing. She ain't hurting anybody.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in hating someone for no reason, and she's
I gotta
not
hate somebody.
But why her, Jennifer
easy
Aniston?
Target.
Go after Gaddafi. Gaddafi's going to leave.
Or Kardashian.
I can't
go after Kardashian.
Yeah.
The Kardashians.
How do you feel about that? But then, you know, I mean, it's also, you know, if you live in a glass house, don't throw rocks.
Like, right.
Dude, live your own fucking life. Who gives a shit?
But
you're right. Her stuff, what she's doing, it's all like, God damn, bitch. Don't you have enough money? Don't you want to do something interesting now?
Yeah.
Everything you fucking do is like the same goddamn
it's
stupid
blah. It's all
story.
Blah.
You know, those romance. Oh, and they're the worst date movies ever.
Yeah.
Because if you're going on this date, if you're a guy, you're already giving in to the fact that you're doing whatever you can to fuck. You're gonna pretend to be someone you're not. You're gonna like. I would never ask a chick to go see some crazy fucking stupid werewolf movie if they weren't into it. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
I would never. But women can ask a guy to go see some wonky ass date night bullshit.
I'd
Jennifer
never.
Aniston,
God forbid,
Sandra Bullock movies. Those motherfuckers.
I love Sandy.
Do you love Sandy?
Oh, poor, Sandy? Poor little Sandy.
You love Sandy because of what happened to her?
Because we kind of look alike.
Yeah, I was just going to say. It's exactly why, right?
Oh, my God. I was going to bitch about No Strings Attached, too, because Natalie Portman, you have an Oscar, but still making bullshit, like,
right.
No Strings Attached. Poor me. I'm the most attractive person ever.
Right.
Me and Ashton Kutcher are going to have No Strings Attached friend sex. Boo-hoo.
Well,
they could fuck anybody, anywhere, any day of the week. A new person every single day, and they're gonna make a fucking hacky ass. Oh, we're just gonna be friends and have sex, and it won't get complicated. Ooh, I wonder what's gonna happen.
Well,
do they fall in love?
What if they did? What if they
you're
did
that
it?
Girl? You have to understand what happens. She's sitting around. Her agent calls them. This is what we have for you. It's a big movie. It's blah blah blah. Everyone's all hyped on it, and next thing you know. Like, I've read for shit that I'm happy I never got. You could just get talked into going in on these things. Next thing you know, you're in an office. Next thing you know, you're signing papers. Next thing you know,
yeah.
you're on a movie set, and you're doing this fucking terrible movie. You know, boo hoo, cry for you. You know, no big deal. But I'm just saying, they're just out there doing their shit.
She looks fantastic, you know? Pregnant.
They should do that movie, though, where it's like it's sold like that, where you know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to fall in love and cheat. But then it's actually like he murders her and like
I
wears
love
his
it.
Body. Like,
he
you
turns
know,
out to
it.
Be an alien.
Yeah.
He only wants her eggs.
I love it.
That would be a good idea for a movie.
Yeah,
movie
just
trailer.
Flip it.
I saw what was it called? Bureau. What the fuck's it called? Adjustment Bureau.
I'm so
Matt
behind
Damon,
in movies right now.
Damon
I don't
movie.
Even know what this is.
It's pretty goddamn decent. It's based on a Philip K. Dick novel, so it was really weird. It was really trippy, like really surprising. Like I thought it was just going to be a typical dumb movie, and there's a lot of dumb elements. But you kind of have to have some dumb shit in a lot of movies just to wrap up a complicated premise inside
yeah.
of 2 hours.
Right.
You know, you
got to
have some.
So people
I want to
like,
be with
hey,
you forever.
What about that one guy that said
yeah.
that thing?
Well, it's also like, what is his motivation? Well, he's ridiculously in love with her, and you know, barely. You know, what? Why is this going on? Really?
They just met. What?
You know, I mean, come on, really? I mean, you're dwelling on this shit 3 years later because it's meant. To be, and it's all written down somewhere. But it's fascinating
still,
how
like,
he went about it.
Rack my brain over Back to the Future, and that's like from 1985. I'm like, still things. bother me about it so much.
Like the
I
time,
remember almost nothing.
Like the
of
rape
it.
Part. Like
there was a rape in Back to the Future.
Yeah, Biff tries to rape Lorraine. And
really?
Then,
that's right.
In the alternate future, that really? They just yeah. still have him like wash his car and stuff. Like, oh,
yeah.
You know what's
forgiven
weird?
That time you tried to rape me on prom night. Like I like it bothers me so much.
Really?
I never even thought about that, but yes, that
but
is...
But then again, I do take a lot of medicine. Makes me like, kind of hone in on that kind of stuff. What about the rapes?
I don't remember anything about that movie. You know, I'm finding as I get older, like, I've definitely used up hard drive space and deleted a lot of files. Because I can watch movies now, and it's like I never watched them before. I watched A Simple Mind the other day. The Russell Crowe movie about that genius mathematician.
A Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind. Did yeah. I say Simple Mind? Beautiful Mind. And it was fucking great. I had no idea what was going to happen. Like, I literally didn't remember the movie.
Oh, I love
but
it.
I know I've seen it. I'm out of space. Yeah. I got no space, man.
That's like that Social Network. That's what's going to happen with that movie to me in like 10 years. Like, it was a great movie, but that's not a movie you'll remember at all.
I didn't
all.
Even see it.
There's
see
so
it?
Many movies, man. If you really stop... You know, it's like, and I was going to ask you this because you do porn. Mm-hmm. Like, why the fuck are they still making porn movies? There's no way you could have seen them all.
Right.
There's no way you need a noon one. If you're really just beating off, there's no way. Unless you're fixating on very specific actresses, which a lot of guys do. But if you're not, if you're just beating off, Jesus Christ.
That's one
who's seen them all?
That's one thing I've noticed, though. It is the characters. It is you like a certain actress and you start wanting to see it. Like before, porn was always, to me, porn was jacking off. But then I never really got into characters since like Twitter, where now I'm following people on Twitter and stuff like that. Now I'm starting to get them. No, I want to see a movie with that person in it. So I see that now. Mm-hmm. That Twitter's helping it a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely what's become. I mean, it's become that with comics as well. Yeah. You know, it's like it's people
Absolutely.
Reaching out and you develop like your fan base and then you all communicate with each other. And then I guess when some dude's whacking off to you, it's like much more personal, you know, or more fun.
They kind of feel like they own you a little bit. It's a little bit disconcerting.
Yeah. Do people get douchey with you because of that? Like, I'm a fan, like I demand this.
Well, I mean, even like today coming here, people are like, is Joe Rogan going to fuck you? And I'm like, I'm a person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like. You have your thing.
Isn't that weird,
And we just
though?
Met in the, you know, it's right. just like, this isn't a movie. This is real life, and you have your real life, and outside of comedy, and your podcast, and MMA stuff, and TV, and movies, you have your own personal life.
Right.
Me, outside of my Twitter feed, my bathtub thing, like...
What's your bathtub thing?
I just spend like 5 hours a day in the bathtub.
You just sit around the bathroom?
Yeah, I just take
Can you not get clean enough? Are you one of those
no,
people?
No. Oh, I've done so much porn. I'm just constantly just never, ever clean.
Do you do it on like a webcam or something?
No, I just like, you
do you
know, I'm
just
like in the
like to be in the tub?
In the bath.
You should do it on webcam.
Is there a psychological thing there or you just like to do it?
No, it's just comfortable.
Just feels good to be in the
it's
tub?
It's all warm and wet.
Yeah.
And not wearing clothes. And it keeps me from eating. Because taking food in the bathtub is gross.
Cat in the Hat did it.
You just get an isolation tank then.
That's part of the Cat in the Hat.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
When the Cat in the Hat comes back, that's where he starts trouble. He eats cake in a tub.
See, that's where it's all downhill from
that motherfucker. And he gets those little kids in trouble almost, and then he pulls it out with magic at the very end. So yeah, most people don't eat in the bathtub.
Wow, well, you're up to date with your Cat in the Hat.
Cat
that's
in the Hat
awesome.
Is the shit, son.
That's like
I love this. I have a 2.5-year-old.
I know.
She loves the Cat in the Hat, and I love reading it. Like I get all enthusiastic about it. It's fucking great writing.
That's
the
awesome.
Cat in the Hat, especially the Cat in the Hat comes back. That one's the shit,
dude. Have you gotten into some Shel Silverstein yet?
No, man.
Where just, the sidewalk just, ends. Get that. You'll fucking love it. It'll be great.
Really?
You will read that shit, and you. As a kid, that's
my man.
Of
the Cat in the
ever.
Hat seems awful psychedelic.
Shel Silverstein.
He's got magic. The Cat in the Hat's got a crazy hat and magic.
Magic.
Fuck Michelle Silverstein. I'm not interested.
Michelle.
Whatever the fuck you're talking about.
Michelle.
I'm not interested, man. You're talking that's nonsense. Terrible. I'm telling you about something awesome, and you're telling me about something else, and I have no idea what
it is. It's very similar.
Well, let's talk
what
about what's awesome. I don't want to hear about this similar bullshit.
You will
bullshit.
Think it's awesome.
The Cat in the Hat is the shit, son.
Awesome.
He's a cat. With a magic fucking hat. He pulls his cat off and there's little cat A. Little cat A pulls his hat off, there's little cat B. Little cat C and it gets all the way down to little cat Z. And little cat Z has Voom. And you don't know what the fuck Voom is, but Voom fixes everything. And when it gets down to little cat Z, when the fucking shit hits the fan, when the cat fucks everything up. He gets the tub dirty. He gets pink shit out in the snow and on the $10 shoes and on mom's dress. And everything is a fucking disaster. And he keeps pulling out little hats so other cats can help him. And they just fuck shit up worse and worse until he gets to little cat Z. Yes. And little cat Z's got the reset switch. Wow. He pulls out Voom. And Voom just zip. Bang! No matter what. And you, little cat Z is so small, you can't even fucking see him. He's not visible to the naked eye, okay? So they're going macrocosm on your ass, man. They're going quantum physics, all right? That's how badass Cat in the Head is. So fuck your stupid... What was her name again?
Shel Silverstein.
Shel Silverstein can suck the Cat in the Hat's cock. How about that? That's what I got to say.
I need to.
The Cat in the Hat is the shit, son.
I need to have some kids because I haven't read this shit in a while.
Me neither.
I need to read some stuff.
You know, when you don't have kids, the idea of reading kids' Cat in the Hat stories sounds like fucking painful punishment.
Yeah.
I've been in the position where I didn't have kids, where I looked at people at kids like, oh, you trapped fuck. Like, oh my God, oh, you're doomed. You're stuck to that shit forever.
That's how I'm looking at you right now.
There's no way not to. There's no way not to. It's normal if you don't have kids. That's how it's supposed to be set up until you have them of your own. You're supposed to, like, to complete your mission in life, like your motivation and your goals are to be as unentangled as possible. So when you see entanglements in other people's lives, you recognize them as disgusting things you never want to see in yourself. Right. That's why, like, you see, like, if someone's acting like an asshole or someone's acting selfish or jealous, those feelings that you get from seeing them, like, ugh, it's so gross. That's a message to you. You're supposed to learn from this.
Right.
And you're supposed to never ever be what that person is. Like, they're there for you. And when you see people with kids, if they're not yours, you get this screwy message. You get this message of, oh, look at this poor fuck. And you think about all the worst aspects of all your relationships and how, you know, you could possibly be entangled with some other person. And then there's a fucking kid who won't stop crying and, oh, you're doomed. But when you have them, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, there's this little human and they're your little friends. And it's you. Like, it's not really another person. It's a part of you that's become its own individual. You love it literally more than you love yourself. Yeah. And then reading to them and playing with them, it's fun as fuck. It's like you got this little pal. Like, she makes me laugh all the time. She shows me her dumps. She takes these giant shits. They're fucking huge.
That's
they
awesome.
Come out of this little tiny body. You can't believe how big her shits are.
You should start twittering her twits.
No way. No way.
No.
These dudes would be jerking off to my baby shit. Oh, fuck. Look at that log. If it fits that, it fits my cock.
No.
That's what they'd be thinking. Oh, of course there would be. There's at least like five guys. If you showed how big your baby shit was, we're like, what else could I fit in that ass? They would think about stuffing their dick in there.
I jacked off of your kid's poop today, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. There's at least one guy who's going to say that.
Yeah.
But she thinks it's hilarious. She goes, I just made a poop log. Like and poop is what she knows is funny because it's funny coming out of a two-year-old. So that's like the go-to word.
Yeah.
You know, whenever, you know, what does it smell like? Poop. Everything smells like poop. Like, she'll say everything smells like poop and laugh.
That's awesome.
It's fun,
that's
man. Awesome.
You got to get her in on there's a show called Adventure Time. I highly recommend. It's like a trippy show for kids, but if you're an adult, you will fucking want to get high and watch it. Amazing.
That's all I want to do.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
It's the next
SpongeBob. In the tub.
And then it's like Maria Bamford's on it. Steve Agee said that he did something on it. Like a bunch of really talented people.
Oh.
It's really cool.
The guy that used to do Flapjack. Flapjack got canceled, so now he's on it too.
Hmm.
Fucking awesome.
Would you ever do a cartoon voice? I think that would be one of your ideal things.
I think I have.
Well, you did a Family Guy or American Dad or something like that. You remember you were...
I did a cartoon voice on Family Guy. Yeah. And I did... what else have I done with little kid shit? I feel like I've done something before. I've read some books.
Oh, really?
I read some books that became like books on CD
a long time ago
with Mario Lopez.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, man, because you're reading a kid's
Mario
story.
Lopez.
And you're reading, yeah,
he
Mario.
He was Lazy Slater.
Yeah, he's hot as fuck. And I always remember, like, you know, like how I was a little kid, like to like listen to a cassette of someone tell a story.
Right.
That was like fucking cool. You'd be tucked in bed and you hear some really exciting story, you know.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was fun doing that.
Speaking of Lopez, remember when we had Allison on? She was extra behind Mario Lopez and she was just staring at him like she was like the Terminator with this really evil mean look.
Yeah.
Well, she's done it again, but this time she did even better. Like at the beginning, they like high five when they come back from a commercial. Mario Lopez and her, and then she immediately goes right back into the character, and she's just staring at him down, and looking. But she overdid it this time.
Acting?
Yeah, she's overdoing it this time,
oh
just acting
God.
Like.
I love
just to be crazy on TV. So people are like, what is going on with that chick?
Yeah, exactly.
That one bitch is crazy.
Exactly.
The first time I met her when she was with Brian, she's very nice person. First time I met her, I'm like, dude, is that girl angry? Like, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
I feel like, did I upset her? Did I say something rude? Because I don't, you know, I'm like, I don't even remember interacting.
Yeah.
She's got this mean face. But then she's super nice.
Yeah, she's like the nicest person ever. She just gets lost in overthought, I think. You know, like she's constantly, you know, just thinking about things. And then she looks angry.
It's called winning.
It's called winning.
This Charlie Sheen meme has hit it's turned a corner. Yeah. It's turned a corner. I watched the podcast and all of a sudden this is not fun anymore. There's three now, but there's two different versions. There's one where he actually tries to do like a talk show.
Right.
It's very strange and it's very cocaine because everyone in the room is like all happy and laughing at nonsense. And there's this one guy who won't stop playing fart sounds. It's like, you know, he probably listened to the Howard Stern show twice and, you know, and said, oh, well, this is probably all it takes. Just, need right. a fucking fart board. And this guy's blowing off farts in the background for no reason whatsoever. And Charlie's like reading off cue cards, just trying to have those synapses fire in some sort of a reasonable and understandable sequence because it's just cocaine madness in that brain. His brain is ravaged, dude. He's got blowout holes in walls and water's leaking out. No one knows what the fuck happens to your brain when you blow 7 fucking gram rocks. You're snorting them and smoking them for years and years. He's fried. He's barely trying to keep it together.
What if this is all a setup for a movie?
It would be a fucking movie genius ever. Movie.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe not. Maybe the best movie
I will never, ever be on Charlie Sheen's bandwagon. Fuck him.
Why? Why do you say
because
that?
Because it's just, I don't know. That's the best way to get people mad, I think, is just to be like, I'm not into what you're into. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have not been watching fascinated. Or following any of it.
I feel like there's no reward in that for me, but there's a reward in following it. There's a reward in studying it like he's some fucking Lewis and Clark of cocaine and whores.
Right.
You know, he's like out there in the woods and, you know, and shit.
I'll tell you,
Indians
cocaine
live.
And whores have been around for a very, very long time.
But
I'll
no
be
one's
very
been
shocked
able to
that Charlie
rock it
Sheen
like
is going to discover something new about either.
2 mil a week is how you discover something new. He's got radical amounts of money, syndication money. And when you have that kind of money, that's how there's dudes show up with briefcases and shit and, you know, and there's 50 girls in the room. He's doing other level shit because you're not supposed to get that rich and still have this crazy appetite for cocaine and whores. You're not supposed to be that open about it. You're not supposed to be that public about it.
That's what's crazy is that that's exactly where TV's going. This
just
whole
bitching,
shit is the realest
rock star life.
Supposedly,
that's what it is.
Supposedly, this is the realest you can get for reality shows yes. now is having a Ustream channel yeah. and seeing somebody about to die. Maybe.
Oh
yeah.
Or the whole thing's fucking fake.
No, it's not fake.
And it's directed by Shel Silverstein, and this is gonna like the next biggest movie ever.
Dude, it's fucking
in 3D.
It's so Pixar. Scary when you look at his body and his face, like the latest two. It looks like he hasn't eaten or slept in days. Like his skin is loose on his face.
Yeah. He looks like an old man.
Yeah. But it's because he's lost all this weight.
How old
look at
is
him.
He?
That looks like
he's
a
only
skeleton.
2 years older than me. And I don't know. I know I don't look like I did when I was young. I look at myself when I was young and I'm like, wow, how weird is that? Like, that's me. I'm decaying.
Right.
You know, I'm like, my body's morphing and changing.
Look good.
But I look better than that dude.
Yeah. That looks like Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner right there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's an old man. That's like a 60-year-old man.
By the way, we're looking on Ustream. He has his all his videos and channels. His name is WYTR on Ustream. And
says WYTV, bro. Oh,
WYTV.
You know, I think that's just one of them that's on. I mean, I think you can watch the actual Charlie Sheen one on Charlie Sheen's channel. This is the guy who's recompetent.
Oh, it is?
It looks like.
But this one almost has a million views, so.
Does
maybe,
it?
Yeah, this might be it.
Okay, maybe it is it. But well, here's what disturbs me. Look at the pointiness of his shoulder.
Yeah.
Look at the bones.
Yeah, that's weird.
He's dying.
He's dying. Yeah, that's real. You know, he's dying and he's winning.
Yeah, he looks like Steve Jobs right there.
Yeah.
Dude, does he need a liver transplant?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Maybe that's why he has all those whores in his house. He's like matching them.
One with the best
matching
liver.
Their organs. I'm on to you, bitch.
He's trying to check them out. I used to say that about Dick Cheney. that Dick Cheney probably has like 7 Secret Service agents, but only 6 are real Secret Service agents. One guy is just some dude who's got his blood type.
Yeah.
And they're just waiting
harvesting
for Dick
the organs.
Cheney to die. So they're going to cut this dude open like a fish.
Harvesting.
We should
one
check
guy behind
into that.
Them with a truck with ice in it, just ready to throw the heart in there while it's still beating.
What blood type are all those whores?
Do you guys know what blood some type you are? I don't even know what blood type I am.
I think I have like cat blood type or something.
Cat.
Oh, positive.
Oh, positive.
Dana DiArmond's the only one here that's not high.
Mm-hmm.
She was scared. She didn't want to go deep. A little nervous.
I am a little nervous. It's
Why?
Very hard to be in the same room with people who are professionally funny. Because
well,
even if I'm not funny, I could just fucking open my ass and like accept a huge cock. You know, and everything will be okay. Things will pan out for me.
Everybody will like you.
Yeah.
They'll say, wow,
definitely.
Way to go.
Yeah, because I can fall back on just, you know, being pretty
you
is
don't,
enough.
You don't have to worry about anything. Just be yourself. You don't have to be funny. You don't have to be just
But
just
I'd like
yourself.
To, because I'd like to be impressive.
Well, you are, but you know what? No more than you have to be. Like, the beautiful thing about this podcast, for real, is that it's like a conversation. You know, it's like what people get a chance to see is it's like you get an in on an interesting conversation, you know? So just
like
be yourself.
It.
So you're all good.
That's
you don't have to just be funny.
Oh, thanks.
But you are. You are funny. And if you haven't seen that clip, it's very funny. Have you ever thought about doing comedy?
I don't know, because it's kind of hard because I'm like already social and marginalized by being a sex worker, and then people kind of expect you to be like sexy, and then I already had this conversation with Brian about female comics and how it's like that's already you're kind of a rung down on the ladder because you know my boyfriend, my period, my cats, you
right,
know kind
right.
of stuff
yeah.
and it's really hard to get out of that. That is a business that's very hard for women, and somebody like me coming in like being pretty and being a porn star and, you know, being like having a dirty mouth or whatever, I feel like I'd be kind of painted into a certain corner of being expected to.
How can you be painted more than you are already?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But as a porn star, how could being a female comic, which is, I mean, arguably the general consensus, it would be a notch, many notches above on the social ladder. Like, how would it possibly fuck you up by being funny as well as doing what you already do?
I'm just afraid of failing. I don't
Could
know.
Could be that, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's very intimidating. Like, I do, like, you know, comedy bits for videos and stuff like that, and people kind of always call me because they need, like, a pretty girl or a naked girl, or someone will do full frontal and whatever, and
but
I'm a good sport,
can,
and
yeah,
I get jokes
act, yeah.
and stuff like that, but, you know, I don't know if I can just be like, here are my series of jokes, and then try to, like, change it from, you know, I feel like I would have to fall back on being a porn star for the basis of my comedy, which is something that is kind of counterproductive to what I do as a porn star, because I sort of market myself as a girl next door and a normal person, you know? So it
right.
would be like folded in on itself.
No, it would. I really don't think it would, because you would just be yourself on stage.
I need that noise.
You
want
it? You do need it, right?
Awesome.
Maybe we're not on the same level.
I think what
you
said.
But you're right. Yeah, I know.
Do you know
exactly
what I'm saying?
What
I don't know.
We're gonna help you.
It's hard.
Just reading your tweets, I think you're fucking hilarious. And even if you just took what I do is I usually think of a tweet that I really like, and then I try to write a little story around that tweet, because that pretty much is like the meat of the goal or the. I'm sorry. What was that?
Open that up so we can see what we're seeing. We're doing just in case.
But that's like the meat of a joke, you know, like a tweet it pretty much is the best part of a joke usually, you know, so I think you'd be really good at it just based on your
what a tweet is just 140 characters just writing material, you know, it's just and not that's the beautiful thing about it. Sometimes it's just whatever the fuck you think about anything, you know, like I was talking about, like I made a tweet last night that I was watching this Charlie Sheen thing, and then he sounds like Hunter S. Thompson. He's got this crazy, us against them, boys. You know, he's got this crazy, nutty, gonzo thing going on. I'm like, wow, this is weird. Like, now I'm stuck. Like, is that like a drug thing? It's not like you just go too far over the edge, and you just, you know, everything's firing all fucking goofy. Is that what it is?
Well, Charlie Sheen has been famous pretty much all his life, and he was, like, born into a famous family, too. So, I mean, that kind of sets you back a little bit to begin with, because you're already scrutinized and being watched pretty closely, and you're in a bubble because you're rich.
Sure.
From the moment you're born, basically.
What stand-up comedy makes you do is be real as fuck. You can't fake it. You can't pretend something's going on that's not going on. You know, what's happening is happening. When you're talking about something, you better be actually thinking about something, or those little animals out there are going to smell it.
Uh-huh.
They're going to know, and it's not going to work.
Like me, fucking happy heckler. I'm the worst.
Yeah, you heckled Mike Young.
I know. It was so funny, though. It was entertaining to, like, the 11 people that were there.
Well, listen, Mike Young needs it. He does.
That's his balls.
He needs it. Just as long as you don't do that to anybody good. And don't do it just because someone's bombing. Because sometimes we bomb when we're trying to work something out. Like
no,
when you
I can tell when bits. People are working things out.
No, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can. You just felt insulted by what Mike Young was selling.
Yeah. Right?
That's it what it is. Like, I know that feeling.
He was like peeing on my shoes and telling me it was raining. It was it was miserable.
Yeah, well you can you know, guys can go down a bad road. You know.
And then he was like, "Hey, I see you. You have bangs." And I was like, "Nailed it, burn." Like, what the fuck are you talking
fucking
about?
Bangs. What are you doing with those
bangs? Yeah.
You can come do
a girl. It's allowed.
You can come do Joe's show tomorrow if you want to do a 5-minute set of reading your tweets.
Yeah, we're doing a show tomorrow. Oh yeah, before I even this weekend is Comedy and Magic Club. Yeah. So this Friday and Saturday we're at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach.
Yeah.
And tickets are there's still some left, but not much. And then next week Friday night we're going to Gotham. It's me and the Wild Jew in at Gotham at. Nice.
It's got a lot Danny of cat hair on it.
Feeling up a fleshlight.
It's an alien pussy.
And that's next Friday night.
Yeah, and then Wednesday tomorrow we have Sal's
Comedy Hall in LA.
Tom Segura, Christina, and
a lot of people.
Eliza Schlesinger is going to be there too.
A lot of people are going on. It's going to be really fun. And that's a great place to fuck around. I came up with 2 new jokes last time I was there.
Really?
Just on stage, yeah.
That's awesome.
Because it's such a little intimate environment, and everyone knows that it's like you're there for that. You know, it's like. Everyone knows that you're there. I do my material, but I'm really there to do my. I want to entertain you, but I also want to like go down crazy roads and see what happens. Like completely free ball, and you can't do that in a big crowd. You need to do that in like an 80 seater, a 90 seater. Then you really know what's funny and what's not. You can't get off any tricks in an intimate environment, a really small room. You can't get off any tricks. It's like it's either funny or it's not.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very truthful. You know. And you could do that. I'm telling you, you could do it. It's totally. Like when you're
Coach.
Talking about not wanting all these other things, like not wanting to be demeaning. You've already managed to avoid that in the most demeaning job possible.
Yeah, I guess I have.
Seriously.
I mean, it depends. Look, I don't feel like it's that demeaning. I think there could be worse.
Fuck anyone that judges. Anyone that judges anybody that's not hurting anybody. If anybody that's not hurting anybody, whatever you're doing, how weird it may be,
if people think that
makes you happy.
I'm brainwashed, or maybe I need to be rescued, or maybe I was raised improperly,
right.
Or you know, or I'm some kind of a heathen or something that I'm just, you know, I need the right person to slap some sense into me because
I'm being damaged. For most people, that's the case. For most people in your business, that's the case. I mean, it's not an irrational reason for them to think that.
I mean, there's a fair percentage.
It doesn't account for all variabilities. There's a lot more variables. Variabilities? There's a lot more variables. It doesn't count for all of them.
Of course.
And there's people can be, you know, into all kinds of things for no fucking reason. And to say that it's all from abuse or...
Yes.
So you were happy growing up, happy person?
Yeah, very. Yeah. You know, mom, dad, brother... Cats.
Just everybody.
You know, normal shit.
Just really open about sex in your house? Like, how did you become so...
I don't know. I was like, I'm weird. And I've always been weird. Like, I asked my mom, what was I like when I was a kid? And she was like, pretty much exactly the same way as you are now, just shorter. And I was like, okay. Been like this kind of neurotic, silly person for a very long time. And I never had like any sex talks with my parents. I think at a certain point they were like, it's really normal to experiment with sex and drugs, but you probably shouldn't drink. And I was like, well, I'm going to go get drunk. Because if my parents think that drugs and sex are cool, they must suck or be nerdy or whatever. Like I kind of went Alex P. Keaton on them.
Right.
Little flip.
Man, that's something you got to really be aware of when you're raising kids. You can't just tell them what you want them to do.
Right.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you got to kind of... figure out a way to trick them.
Mm-hmm.
Trick the little monsters.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So you just gravitated towards the alcohol to be a rebel.
Yeah. I was like a really bad drinker when I was younger. And I went through phases where I would like not drink at all, but then like pick right up and like be a drunk person until I was like 23.
Wow.
Yeah. I was just like, and like sex. I mean, I wasn't like super interested in it. Like I had boyfriends and stuff. And like my parents never tried to make me feel bad about sex, but the men that I was with always did. Like,
they made you feel bad about it in what way?
About like
having other
how
partners?
Many people I've right. had sex with, or like what I'm into, yeah. or whatever. And I was just like, I always found it to be pretty strange. So I guess like my weak. Parents raised me to have good ideas about sexuality, but really it like wasn't really laid out for me in any way.
Well, for men, you know, you want to know how many partners, because then the likelihood of her leaving you becomes assessed, like how long she will
that
stick
is such
around.
A sensitive thing to say, which I think is really interesting, because I think that a lot of people would say, you know, to see if she's like a whore or slutty, or if she's like diseased or
there's,
whatever,
there's
or if she's
that.
Gonna give me herpes.
There's
or
that too. There's that
whatever.
Feeling that she's not special.
But I think that's pretty,
yeah,
pretty interesting.
Well, you
I
mean,
think
you're gonna give your love up to
special.
A girl? Yeah. Well, what the fuck? You're an accumulation of all your experiences, sexual or otherwise.
Right.
Whatever the fuck you want to do. I mean, maybe you made mistakes. The only problem is it becomes like you find out about like trains that were run on her and like how many times? Damn, bitch. Like how many gangbangs? 3? Fuck. You know, and then you start thinking, how can I ever think that
that's
that
weird.
Sex is special between us? You know, how can I ever think that that this is
that's
you know,
for real.
It's worthy of my love.
That's real shit.
Yeah, it's not what I see in the movies, you know.
Right.
It's not what I see in Sandra Bullock's movies. Sandra Bullock never gets a train run on her. You
yet.
Know? She doesn't go to work and get fucked
I mean,
in the ass
probably,
and then come home and want to cuddle
an
with
Oscar,
you.
So she could fucking do whatever now.
No.
Yeah.
No, not for a woman.
She can go full.
They can vanish. She's on the verge of vanishing already. She's 40 years old, 43 years old, or something
oh,
like that.
She's so cute.
She is very cute, but I mean, you're not going to want to see her as she's 60 in a romantic comedy about
no.
a woman trying to find her way, and
she's
coaches a bunch of black guys that are playing football, and she learns a valuable
life
lesson.
Well, I mean, she kind of went like MILF, you know? Like in that Blind Side movie. She was a little bit of a like
yeah.
a mom, not like a girlfriend,
yeah,
or a sexy boss.
It's so funny how we identify with someone who's going through some crazy marital
I know,
strife on television.
Crazy crap. She doesn't deserve that. She seems nice enough.
Yeah,
but I do wonder why she was married to that Jesse James fella.
Yeah, that
he's
seems
like
weird.
Completely tattooed all over the place.
Yeah, what is that about? I never really understood that. Is
yeah.
Is that like a they both enjoy cocaine or something?
I think
or?
He's a charmer.
Charmer?
There's some guys that are charmers, and I think he was very obsessed with being famous. Listen to me, I'm like, I'm fucking literally
yeah.
Nancy Grace. What we have here is a charmer. He's a bullshit artist, and he's getting this girl to believe him. Now
it.
We have a dead baby in Florida. That's all
oh
that bitch
God.
Talks about.
Nancy
yeah. Grace.
There's
Nancy a dead
Grace
baby in Florida. Nancy Grace is on that shit. You will look for this story on CNN.com. You will find nothing. Well, here we have the mother come home from work, buy cigarettes with the baby in the car.
I know. I love it. She hates
Fuck.
Casey Anthony so much.
Who's
she
Casey goes, Anthony?
She, like, killed her daughter, Kaylee Anthony,
oh,
in
why
Florida.
Why would she hate her? She seems cool.
But no, but, like, the thing is, she's not, like, ever trying to present herself as, like, an impartial news person. She's like, and
no.
Casey Anthony, they will figure out the truth about you. Because
yeah.
you murdered your baby.
Well, he's a... She's
she was like, what?
I said
yeah.
he's a... There's
she's
a
totally
Freudian right there.
Biased.
Well, she's not supposed to be a news person. She's like a discussion person.
No, but it
she's
just,
a former prosecutor. Like that's the
so, like,
the interesting part of her case.
She's got it figured out.
The crazy thing is like when she's talking about Tiger Woods, like, whoa. Settle the fuck down, hooker. I thought you were all about dead babies in Florida. What are you doing about black athletes that like to fuck?
Yeah,
like really? You're gonna spend 3 weeks
horizons.
Working on black athletes that wanna fuck. Like really?
Hmm.
Who are these show. Girls? Where do they come from?
Everywhere.
How did they get his phone number?
Well, Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace would
he
love some black cock.
He probably gave it to them.
If anybody could use some black cock, it's Nancy Grace. I could
yeah.
see her enjoying it. Couldn't you?
I'd pay for that.
I could see her enjoying it. I could see her
yeah.
getting stuffed. Somebody just finally fucking treating her like she's really sexual and hot for the first time in 20, 30 years. Ugh, she'd get into it. Big Mandango Ebony Sword.
Sword?
Yes. And knows how to enunciate the W.
Sword.
Oh, you're such a dad.
See, that's fucking comedy right there. That's timing. You could totally be a stand-up comedian.
There you go.
Dude, you could totally do it. I'm telling you. We're the same.
For real.
Comics and porn stars are very, very similar. We all come from some fucking weird
dark
place
shit.
Where
yep.
we didn't get what we were supposed to get when we were young, and there's a hole. And, you know, you fill that hole up however you want, with jokes or with dicks. It's the same thing.
There's room for both. My whole thing.
I'm telling you, you could do it. You could fit hands in there and shit.
I can. Claps.
People can clap.
You got 5 minutes tomorrow at Sal's Comedy Hall. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So you don't have to do it. No pressure.
Okay.
You don't want to. Look what happened with her with drinking. You know? You can't do that, dude. You can't push her in a direction. She's going to push back. She's not going to take your bullshit, son.
He's psychologizing me.
Yeah, man. He's fucking trying to trick you.
I saw the funniest photo of you. She has, by the way, she has an obsession with trannies. Like, she is addicted to trannies.
Drag queens.
I saw this one of this big black...
Giant! She was like 7'2", 7'4", something. She was giant.
I like how you say she.
Was that, she was a huge girl.
So funny. How was it she?
Was that even a turn on?
I just thought she was like really owning her shit, you know? She was just like working the room. Like, it must be fucking... Like, I'm 5'8", and I feel like I'm a little bit too tall, right? You know? And
you're 5'8"?
Yeah, I kind of...
Do you feel tranny-like sometimes?
I'm in touch with my...
Inner tranny?
Inner tranny, my masculine side. My masculine feminine side.
They have a pussy boner?
It's a fembone.
Fembone?
Or lesbone. Depends what it's for.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What is that? What?
I don't know. Just making up words.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
No, but I'm...
Why is it a terrible time to get your balls caught in your pants and you have to adjust? This conversation is going on. Like, the last thing I want is anybody to think that I'm getting hard right now. But I'm shifting in my pants because I'm sitting on my balls.
Pants boner moment.
Here, I'll put a black bar over that.
You're talking about, like, fem boner or something. And I'm like, God damn it. I do have to adjust my balls.
I'm just kind of...
Terrible timing.
I'm very obsessed with RuPaul's Drag Race. I've been watching it for all 3 seasons. And I really like the drag queens. I used to hang out with drag queens a lot when I lived in Florida.
What's the obsession? Just Disney. You find it cool or it's interesting
just people,
aesthetically?
Just like, when people are just really being themselves,
right?
Even if it means like dressing as a different gender or whatever, it's just because that's like what they feel.
Right.
And it's very ambiguous, and I really like that.
Why not, right?
Yeah, why the fuck not? Like, yeah. I used to go out and like pulling drag looks with drag queens in Florida, and I like blended in with them.
Because they thought you were a big woman.
Yeah, they thought I was like a dude
dressed as a
girl,
woman.
Dressed as a dude, dressed as a girl. Like, it's some pretty next level Inception type of shit.
It's the next level shit.
Yeah, your hands are too small and your feet are too small.
If
you were a dude, you were really one of those people that was supposed to be born a woman.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
That would be the worst. So it's way better to be a woman who looks like might be a tranny than a dude who looks like a woman.
But those trannies that are like the like girl, like a their like jeans are just messed up and they just ended up with a dick, but they're like really more woman.
Right.
They have like a whole different, like, if they want to do tranny porn, it's very niche and they look more like women than like someone that maybe started transitioning later in life or that was more masculine.
Right.
And so it opens their door to like be like the best transsexual prostitute or porn star or whatever. Like, they could really like cash in on that. You know, if people really wanted to make their sex,
but you
gotta
keep
like
taking that
issue,
deeper and deeper. How can you be the best? Is it possible to compete? Who's the best tranny?
Yeah, they have like tranny
so
awards.
Subjective.
Bailey J got the best transsexual performer.
Oh, you
at the
do like Avian. Follow the trannies?
I do.
Yeah, she's
they
addicted.
Follow me.
She's addicted.
Trannies follow me, and I follow them back. And
well,
a lot
probably
of times
just happy
they fool me, and I think they're just hot girls.
They're probably just happy that someone accepts them. You know.
Yeah. Why shouldn't anybody accept them, Joe Rogan?
You're right.
Exactly.
I think there's a broad spectrum
of
human behavior.
Here today.
There's a huge spectrum, and all I care about...
People thought they were going to hear about, like, that fighting stuff or, like, fucking stuff, and we're teaching people values.
Yeah. Well, that's what this thing is about. This is just a conversation.
Yes.
You know? It's so easy to judge people.
Valuable...
Well, it's easy to get confused, and we naturally gravitate towards teams. And if you're not on team dressed like a guy, all of a sudden there's something fucked up about you. But if you're a fucking guy who really loves dressing like a chick, who the fuck am I?
Right.
Who's anybody to say there's something wrong with that?
I kind of dress like a guy, and I'm
Why not?
A lady.
Girls dress like guys all the time.
All the time.
I never have a problem with it.
No.
I mean, I don't want to dress like
people
a woman,
tell me
but I don't give a shit if you do.
Every time.
Hillary Swank's hot.
Who?
Hillary Swank? I think she's hot.
Every time I dress like a guy, someone goes, you look like Hilary Swank.
And I'm like, I think she's hot.
Dressed like a dude.
I think Hilary's like, I've heard dudes say that they think she looks like a man. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you need to get a certain amount of man in you. You need to be a certain amount of masculine to appreciate a beauty like Hilary Swank, yeah. Which is a little on the manly side.
Yeah.
But I never even thought
strong,
of that before.
Strong jawline. Yeah.
You need to be more dominant, more masculine
handsome
than her.
Woman.
Yeah, you don't want to be like a frail man and you want to fuck Hilary Swank. She'll mount you and ground and pound you. You know,
I feel like I am actually probably more masculine than Hilary Swank, the person.
I would have to see the two of you together, because when you see someone in real life, like people always tell me when they meet me, God damn, you're so fucking short. Like, I never thought you were that Aww. Short in real life. No, it's true.
How tall are you?
5'8". But on TV, you know, you look big. You know, you're on television. Then these people meet me and they're like towering over me. And they're like, you know, like you meet a guy who's like 6'4" and he's like, oh, I thought you were fucking taller. Like, you don't know what anybody's like until you actually meet them.
Right.
I mean, you'd have to see. Like, I've met celebrities that I thought were like these big people and they're these little tiny people.
I mean, look at Conan O'Brien. I never knew he was that tall.
Yeah, he's
very gigantic.
He's very tall, which I'm sure makes it awkward when he does his show because he towers over all these people and he wants to be unassuming. And it's an interesting thing. So, who's more manly? You or Hilary Swank? She'd have to be sitting right next to you,
probably.
Because when she did Million Dollar Baby and she played the boxer, she looked pretty fucking manly. All right,
but she's an actress.
But she was yoked. Do you remember that?
I could work out if I didn't love not working out so much.
Right, but she already did it. Like, she already did it, so I'm pretty sure she's more masculine than you.
I don't know.
Look, if you were together, right next to each other,
just
and
because someone's buff doesn't mean they're like masculine.
The fuck
so.
It doesn't. Yeah, it does. It's all directly related to how difficult it would be to rape you. That's exactly what it's like. That's what it is. And if you look like you'd be a tangle, like, God damn, I can't even get hard because I got to fight for my life here.
I'm feisty.
If a man feels like he could just absolutely run away with you, like grab you and just manhandle you.
But, like, I've done porn and I've, like, tortured people on their balls. I don't think I would have any, like, problem, like, trying to, like, punch someone in the face or rip their eyes out or kick them in the dick or something.
Of course you would.
Because I've been like very aggressively sexual towards men and shame them.
Right.
So I feel like that would be an advantage over a rapist. Rapists out. Nobody tried to rape me because I can kick your dick
all
and balls.
All I'm saying is.
Why are you trying to get people to rape me?
I'm not saying.
You know your followership.
Should rape you. I'm
you know
not
them.
Saying that.
It,
no.
You know
I,
what
please
like.
Don't rape Dana. There, I said. Please. And if you're thinking
Listen
about it,
Joe.
Please stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's not
so
what I'm
rude.
Saying. What I'm saying is.
So rude.
That's when a woman becomes manly looking.
Rape is so
when
rude.
When she looks how different. It's very rude. It's very, right? It's
Someone
so inconsiderate.
Make it illegal.
It's so inconsiderate.
Rude.
I want to fuck you even if you don't want it.
This girl I was talking to the other day on. She said she was raped twice. And I'm like, which one was the better one?
Oh, no. Dude, write that down. Write that down. That's a bit. That's
like
a
if
bit.
You had to choose one, dude, like which one was better?
You got to do that tomorrow night at Sal's. 100%. That is a bit. No doubt about it. That's really funny.
I think it's
Holy
really funny because some
that's
people
fucking funny.
On like the BTS of porn movies, they'll try to be like, when'd you lose your virginity? And some people just full on is like, how old were you the first
you
time you were
raped? Did you say
BTS? Yeah, the behind the scenes footage of
oh,
the movies.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Industry talk.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, sorry.
That's from. Thought, that's one for our side.
I wasn't even going to ask because I thought
one,
you were saying
Hollywood zero.
I thought you were saying like a message board, like a BBS, like
oh,
a bulletin
no, no, no.
board,
like the little behind the scenes footage.
Oh, okay.
People are like, "How old were you when you?"
Do they show you guys
sex?
Like douching and cleaning your butt?
I
out?
Always try to trick people into like watching me pee and douche and stuff because they're not really supposed to film like
right.
peeing.
No,
because like
the it's
distributors
against the law, right?
have like a problem with it. Well.
It might be.
Like,
I think
peeing
it is.
On people is some places obscene. But I did a movie called Girls Lie for Vivid Alt, directed by Ian MacKay, and it had a girl taking a pregnancy test, and she peed on it on the toilet, and they can show it because it's, like, in a...
medical environment.
It's, or, yeah, like a normal environment.
Right.
Like, pee-pee goes in the toilet, not
in
Dana's
a,
mouth.
A person's mouth.
Ugh.
I saw
That's
someone,
what you think.
I saw a guy piss in someone's mouth live. It was really funny.
It's I think good. It's funny. I think it's more hilarious than anything that, you know... Some people, like, they want to jack off to the movies, and they want to see naked people, and they want to see some weird shit, but then they also kind of, like, want to laugh, I think.
But
no,
I saw this at a
you know,
rock and roll
funny.
Show. It was a guy that used to do it called Extreme Elvis. And he was,
oh, yeah, I've met him.
Have you
I've met,
met
him?
Him,
yeah.
He's buddies with Doug Stanhope, and Doug was opening up for him at this bar. The guy goes up there. He's fat as fuck, and he's a really good singer. Like, he's
yeah.
really good. And the band is tight. You know, it's not just a bizarro show. And then the guy takes his clothes off, and
he
has a microphallus. A complete microphallus. I mean, it's, like, to the point where people are laughing hysterically. I believe it's still up on my website. I believe I took a picture of his dick. And he's pissing in this woman's mouth. He goes, who wants to drink the king's piss? And this girl goes, I do. Awesome. And she gets on her knee. And I took pictures of the whole thing. I took pictures of him pissing in her mouth, pissing in a glass. She drinks the glass. Like, it is fucking crazy. And he climbs off stage and he's in the crowd and some woman tries to stick a beer bottle up his ass.
He can like pee on cue.
Yeah. Some woman tries to stick a beer bottle up his ass and he goes, that's the wrong hole. It's right here. Get it right here. Like he helps her stuff this beer bottle up his ass and she panics and just drops the bottle.
Wow.
Like she panicked. Like she thought she would stick her beer bottle up this guy's ass and he would freak out. Like, hey, what the fuck?
Right.
But he goes, you can get in the wrong hole, honey. It's right here. I'll guide you in there. And he starts helping her stick a fucking beer bottle up his asshole. It's like that's how deep this guy's ready to go.
Yeah.
So I run into him.
I mean, I think that's art.
I run into him.
That's so fucking
at the Paul Prevenza
like,
show. I run into him at the Paul Prevenza show, and now he's no longer Extreme Elvis. And I think he's, like, clean and sober now. He used to get hammered as fuck before he did that show. And, you know,
I've
was talking...
I've talked to him before. I've met him before a while ago, like at the Bright Spot or something.
And I was talking on the Paul Prevenza show about a guy that I used to know who was a male feminist. That's how he would describe himself, a male feminist. Right. And it was just this, like, really sad, weak guy. And
seems kind of like subby.
Yeah, it was very subby. And he was this guy, like this really like a bag of jello as a human being. He was just eventually she left him. And so anyway, I was mocking this whole idea of like, how the fuck could you be a male feminist? And after I get off stage, he goes, well, I'm a male feminist. And I'm like, oh, wow. I would love to debate you on that. Like, we should do this on TV. I'm like, you just said it. You just said exactly what I said. Like, a fleshy ball of jello with a microphallus, and you're a male feminist. Well, of course you are.
You look like a fat lady.
Well.
Basically.
You know, no offense. You're a bad motherfucker at what you do when you do that crazy Elvis thing. But, like, you know, talking about being a feminist, like, be whatever the fuck you want to be. But you can't tell me it's not ridiculous. You're like really into the female of the species. Like you're really like thinking of them first. Like what the fuck are you talking about? How about being a goddamn human? How about being a human across the board sexually? Whether it's male, female, gay, straight, tranny, who gives a shit? How about being across the board? Not a fucking feminist, you dumbass. You can't defend that. What, you only want to help women? You only want to promote women? You fucking weak bitch. That's weak shit. Yeah. That's weak.
I don't even call myself a feminist.
It's nonsense.
I would say like I'm not a feminist because it's like, there's
nonsense.
Certain things I can get on board with and whatever. But you know, there's so many different waves of feminism that people will come behind you and just be like, ah.
It's just grouping everything together, like, stupid to begin with.
Yes, all groups are stupid. You know, all of it.
Yeah.
Anything where you're looking out for one. I mean. You can't fucking fix the world. I mean, there's some things that you have to have. Like, you have to have some sort of a group that's there to investigate claims of racism when it comes to jobs and stuff like that. I mean, you have to have some groups, but as little as possible.
Group
God
sex.
Damn it.
That's good.
Sure.
Group yeah.
Nominated for
as
that.
Little as possible. As little goddamn groups as possible.
Yeah.
That's the key. You know, people get on fucking team mentality mode and they start just going after, I'm on team straight. I'm on team queer. You know, I'm on this, I'm on that. They can't help it.
I like it all.
Everybody's got to lighten the fuck up. Right, Dana?
Yes.
Isn't that the key to this world? When people say that weed could fix the world,
probably.
That's like for real. It sounds silly. It sounds silly coming from a fucking comedian and a porn star and a video comedian.
But we keep it
real,
obviously.
Yeah.
So maybe people listen to us because maybe we're a little bit more informed.
I read this post on a message board the other day about this dude who talked about he had smoked pot for the first time in like 7 years. And he was absolutely terrified to his core.
Oh.
And then it brought up all these crazy thoughts of childhood and he could not handle it.
Right.
And it opened up this fascinating discussion. Because, you know, some people were saying that's normal, and some people were saying, well, you got some shit you got to deal with, it's fucking with you in the back of your head, and you're in your sober life, you're not addressing it, but that's why weed is good for you. You're supposed to look at everything all the time, and a lot of us don't. We like to bury shit in the back of our head and try not to address whatever's fucking with us, and weed just turns a light on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you have in your life that's fucking with you, that you're trying to put deep in your subconscious, marijuana does not allow that. It doesn't allow it. So people say, oh, it makes me paranoid. No, it's making you think about the shit you need to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
You should be fucking paranoid. You should be aware of how vulnerable you are.
The world is very fucked up.
Yes.
I had to, like, move because people were stealing my mail when I lived in Silver Lake. I had to, like, move to a high security building. I couldn't deal.
Because they knew where you were?
Yeah.
Fans?
Like, that's... And I was like, I did think I was paranoid, but I was like, no, these people are for real, like, know who I am, and it's kind of trippy.
Did you have a happy childhood, you think?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
My parents were involved in everything. PTA, Girl Scouting, I was a figure skater.
Did you say finger skating?
Oh. How do your parents deal with what you do now?
I don't know if they deal with it. I don't know. It's not really something that it's a non-issue.
It's a non-issue?
Yeah.
Really? They're like, no big deal. You're just having sex on film.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Pretty much. Well, they also see that, you know, I have a reasonable, amount of following and fan base and people who appreciate what I contribute to the porn industry besides just being like
just your personality,
three wormholes
and
a bunch of fake hair. It's, you know, just
so you contribute being your personality and your sense
of
humor.
Yeah, definitely. But my parents respect my decisions, which is maybe kind of a very foreign concept for most people.
For a lot of people.
People's parents tend to, you know, tell them what to do. And my parents are opposite. They told me, like...
Were they religious at all?
No.
Well, that's the reason.
My parents aren't religious.
Yeah. What is their background?
Oh, man. My grandmother is from Germany. And I don't think that my mom was raised with a religion. My grandmother is like a new agey...
What does your dad do for a living?
Whatever. My dad does kind of weird shit. Like, he works at a catering company now. But he was like an on-site security manager of a storage facility, and he used to be a CEO of a software company, and he quit that to be a fish farmer, and then he like went to like ranch cattle in Oklahoma. Like, my dad is just kind of all over the place.
Wow, that's kind of cool, though.
My dad is like kind of like a genius at
free spirit,
all sorts of things, but like for that amount of time, you know,
he gets bored.
He just like, he's like turbo thruster. Like,
you know, why not, man? Shouldn't you be able to just fucking change careers in your life?
My dad does it all the time. And my mom works at a company that makes stuff to blow up brown people in Florida.
Wow.
What?
Wait. Like a missile company?
Like some
arms?
Some
form of arms?
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be brown. We might jack some yellow people in North Korea.
Sure.
We keep talking shit. Keep talking shit.
But
rice-eating motherfuckers, we got some shit for your ass.
Hey!
My mom has been, like, in her job for a really long time.
A bunch of people got mad at me.
Republican people work there.
MMA forum, because we were in Kentucky, and there was some fights going on, and this kid who was a wrestler was fighting this other guy who's a kickboxer from Italy.
Right.
And he lives in America, but they were chanting, USA, USA. And I was like, really, Kentucky? I'm like, that guy lives in Miami, all right?
Yeah.
We're all immigrants, all right? Everyone in this fucking country descended from immigrants. And no one was here 10,000 years ago. It was all ICE, you fuck, all right? That's the whole deal with America. This guy actually lives here, and you're yelling USA. And, you know, and people were, like, saying, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with patriotism, and you're enforcing your beliefs on other people. I'm like, no, I'm making fun of shit. I think it's stupid, you know?
You're being colored commentary.
Silly, you're yelling at USA. What? Just watch these guys for their goddamn technique,
right,
and their courage and what the fuck they're trying to accomplish and the difficulty of the task. This is a great goddamn fight between this all-American wrestler who beat Phil Davis and Ryan Bader's badass fucking wrestler and this Italian kickboxer who's trying to get his ground game together.
Right.
It's a great fucking fight. And these dildos, USA, USA, spit all over the back of the person's head in front of them. Just dumb fucking mouth-breeding cocksuckers.
And
they get mad at you for being upset at it.
How else did you feel about that, your time over in Kentucky? Because I grew up around there, and going through Kentucky was always a fun time.
Louisville is a great city.
Yeah,
the comedy club is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
The people there are super cool. The people that work there were super cool. It's like, it's got this weird southern sort of like almost hippie thing going on. There's like a lot of like young people there. There's a lot of like open-minded people there, and then there's a lot of old money, and then there's a lot of ghetto.
Yeah,
so it's this weird combination of shit.
NASCAR.
No, not Lexington, not Louisville.
Really?
Louisville's old money. It's like, it's a rare part of the South where it's like there's a lot of like really established like social clans and groups and socialites, a lot of money, like really old money down there. But a lot of educated people too. But they're on that show, The First 48. They're on that show all the time, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
People are getting jacked in Louisville.
Sorry.
You know, I got U-verse or
that show AT&T? Shows real yeah. dead bodies. That's yeah. so creepy.
That's dark.
I watch.
Isn't
it
weird that you can show you know anybody getting shot in a movie, but you can't show people really fucking?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Or like a woman experiencing sexual pleasure. It's like yeah. okay if it's like the dude going oh, right. but like not.
You can't
a girl.
Have a guy just
you can't have a girl having
ass.
An orgasm. It's very not done.
Yeah, right. Does it ever happen? Yeah, mm-hmm. you never see like the girl coming. It's always
no.
Even if it's the guy, and
like
it's usually,
even like
for
when Howard Stern did
effect.
The private parts and the girl's like on the speaker. Like having an orgasm because
right.
Howard was making the noises and stuff. I remember that was so shocking when that came out. Like that was so,
really?
Yeah. When that movie came out,
fuck yeah, that was hot. When
like,
she's sitting on the speaker
theater.
And he's going,
yeah.
and that microphone, and she's going, ah,
yeah.
That was
she's
that
like
was cool.
Fully masturbating.
That's interesting that it's not thought of as being very important if you come because it's all leftover barbarian shit, and we used to mm-hmm. hold you down by your hair and just shoot a load in you and run away.
Ooh.
That's what it is. That's how people made babies back then.
That's gross.
It is gross, but it's the reason why men are stronger than women. Why aren't you strong too? You're not strong too, so we can rape you easier.
Oh.
It's really that simple. There's no logical reason
strong.
Why you wouldn't be
That's
like.
That's why God made me tall.
We're stronger to
bigger,
fight off other
intimidating.
Men that want to fuck you and kill the babies. That's what we're strong
That's
for.
That's totally right.
We're strong to rape you and to fight
it's
off so other
creepy.
Men. That's
it's
it.
Because you're supposed to make babies.
Because otherwise you would be strong too.
That's
why aren't you strong
too?
I'm
glad those guys wrestle each other so they get all out of their system yep, instead of
is,
trying to rape me.
This is shit that academics haven't even considered, yo. They haven't even looked into this so deeply. They're scared because of social constructs. All right.
We had Ari Shaffir on his podcast had a guest that was addicted to going to bathhouses or massage parlors to get laid.
Did he say his name?
No.
Ari.
No. Okay. But
did
Ari
you have him on with a mask on?
Yeah,
the
Spider-Man mask on.
Oh, yeah, dude, I almost said his name.
Yeah, I know. Yes. But anyways, that was close.
Sorry. This is live. Maybe we should consider not having this live. Even Charlie Sheen edits his shit.
But so anyways, I never knew, like I always heard the hand job thing where they say hand jobs, but he was talking about how there's places here in LA, many places that he can get just like fucking full on hooker sex.
What?
And he says that he's gotten to the point where he has places that has favorite places with his favorite. He's like, yeah, this is like an LA 10 at this one place.
Wow.
And it's $150 and you just fucking there, sit there and fuck after you do a 15 minute massage.
Whoa.
And he says, and they even bring out the women so they can look like the bunny ranch where they all come and say hi and stuff like that.
Wow.
At massage parlors.
Is there a thing where you can get
no
the
idea.
Massage
wow.
part of your sex massage at the end? Because I think that would be
yes.
like more relaxing.
yeah, right.
There's
kind of the wind down.
They give you a legit massage and then they jerk you off at the end.
I would take the massage at the end, though.
The crazy thing is, though,
I just start,
really?
Yeah, fast out the gate and then I get the wind down.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you would go, wow, that's interesting. For a guy, I think it's the opposite, right? Give me the massage first, and then beat me off. Don't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because after you beat me off, I just want to go away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. See ya. And I don't mean a massage. It's good. I feel good. I'm loose.
He
gotta go. You know, when men have an orgasm, there's a fucking instinctive need that you have to overcome to just run. Like,
yeah.
as soon as you come,
it's
just
like that in
get
the
away.
Movies, too.
It's true in real life. Fuck the movies. In real life, when a guy comes, I'm telling you, he wants to run away. Oh. I mean, you want to stay if you love your wife or your girlfriend and you know, you have this relationship
yeah.
together. But if you don't know each other that well, then all of a sudden you fuck, you're like, get me out of here. what have I done?
I like to snuggle. I'm a snuggler.
Sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes, if you really
you're
love the girl.
You're a male feminist.
But there's a lot of times when you're not. There's a lot of times when you just want to run. Especially if you're drinking. If you're drinking and you know that somehow or another you've allowed the alcohol and your penis to talk you into some unreasonable situation, and then as soon as you orgasm, that it just becomes clear what the fuck happened, and then you want to run away.
Like,
get me out of here.
Alcohol.
So what I'm trying to say is it's way better to get the massage first.
Okay.
Loosen you up, then jerk
or
off. You're like, good, we're done. We're
girls.
Done here. We're done. Thank you.
He also said that how he got an escort once, and he was in this weird, like, small town. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he only had two options. And like on the internet, he found like their websites, and one the lady was already out doing something else, but the other one, you know, like it would show her eyes only. And then it will like show like her leg or something like that because it couldn't show the whole thing.
Damn.
And so he's like, fuck it, I'm going to do this. And she had a really nice, or, you know, seemed really nice on the phone or stuff. Then she comes over and it was like, she was just like had like stab wounds. She like her teeth were all fucked up, and her voice sounded like PJ Stansberry. It was like, hey, come over here and stuff like that.
No.
And he said it was so bad that like he would like felt like he it was impossible to fuck this girl. So then he goes, yeah, I have this thing that I like to do. It's where you give me a blowjob, I put a blanket over you while I watch porn. And she's like, all right, you know, and then afterwards she's like, do you mind if I finish myself up? You got me all hot and bothered. And so she just puts one leg up over him and just starts fucking masturbating.
Oh, God.
It's called Skeptic Tank 2. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank 2, a Death Squad podcast. But listen to that.
Oh, my That's so goodness. Sad.
I have a friend that has been addicted to going to those massage parlors forever. And he's never had a girlfriend as long as I've known him.
Yeah.
I've known him for more than 10 years, and more than 10 years that I've known him, all this guy does is he's not a very good looking guy, and he's not built very well, and he went bald really young in life, and he's never been successful,
right?
And he just has a real hard time. He gets real nervous around chicks, so he just goes to these Asian massage places. He just gets whacked off all the time.
Yeah,
so a good percentage of, like, he doesn't make a lot of money, so the good percentage of what this guy makes every week goes to just getting whacked off. And like, he takes them out on dates sometimes. He was talking to me about it once. We were playing pool, and he was talking to me about it. He's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm taking her on a date this Friday. I go, what? Okay, all right. So like,
don't judge him, Joe.
I'm saying, do you think, is she gonna be your boyfriend? Are you gonna be her boyfriend? Like, what's going
Maybe.
On? Like, you guys gonna? Yeah,
that'd be a good romantic comedy, right?
Yeah,
there.
She just whacks off dudes all day and
you
then
fall
comes
in
home.
Love with your.
But I felt
masseuse.
Like this. I felt like what the way he was telling me, it was almost like he had talked her into doing it because she didn't want to lose him as a customer.
Right.
You know,
oh.
Times are tough. You know, when you get that steady $700 a week coming from one dude.
Yikes.
You know, when you think about it.
Can't he just do it himself, like, every other day or something?
Yeah. Couldn't he, like, just like, fucking find a fat chick with a mustache and just be like, look, we can fuck each other once a week, but I have to get really drunk every time I do it. And she's like,
what
okay.
He wants, Brian. He can get jerked up by cute Asian girls. What are you talking
yeah.
about? It's a ridiculous
He's already
option.
Plateaued on yeah. a higher... His horizons yeah. are set. Yeah.
You don't
far
understand
higher.
Human nature, son. Yeah, you're talking some unrealistic nonsense. Doesn't work that way, right, Dana?
That's right, Joe. Back to you.
And the traffic today is sponsored by the Fleshlight.
You totally could be like working for Entertainment Tonight right now. We got you as a comic.
I could get
and
a leg
we got
cam.
You. Yeah. A
going.
Leg cam. Yeah,
Mary like, Hart, gotta light my legs real nice.
Oh, that's right.
Do they light her legs up?
Grease them up.
Do they?
She had a leg greaser for sometimes, yes. It seemed like.
Really?
Like sometimes
oh
it would go
God.
Like Mary Hart's legs were just like greasy, like she just had banana oil all over her and shit like that.
Yes.
Isn't that funny, man?
Oh my gosh. Oh, we're gonna have our own show. Yay.
Does that make sense
Let's
to you?
Mario
being
Lopez
being a woman. Being a woman, seeing like men like freaking out about body parts and seeing like that's all you need to like sell a car is some woman with slinky legs that like folds them over and gets in the front seat.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to buy that fucking Cadillac. There's pussy in that car. You know, there's some crazy connection.
It's very, it's
what is it like though to be a professional woman like that? Like to be a professional sex symbol? Like dudes are they look at you and 99% of them are thinking about sex. They're thinking about sex that you've had and what you're selling.
If I wasn't in the business I'm in, I feel like people would probably look at me that way anyway.
No,
do you know what
really?
I'm saying? Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I'm always like, I'm trying to talk it out with my coworkers and stuff, and I'm like, I think this guy just wants to fuck me because I'm a porn star. And then like Manuel Ferrara looks at me and goes, no, idiot. They want to fuck you because you're hot. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone can make up whatever backstory, yeah. even if they've seen like a digital image on their computer or not. People can... Like, when you see a hot girl, you are have your whole, your imaginations are run wild.
If I worked with you at Bath and Body Works, I would want to fuck you the whole time I was at Bath
right.
and Body Works.
Exactly.
And why would I work at Bath
yeah,
and Body Works?
I am not this full
deny.
Of myself. I've just, this is information that I've acquired
no,
for my
thesis. No, there's nothing wrong with that, what you said. You're being honest. But
yeah, it is
but
honest.
It's also very possible that he wanted to fuck you because he saw you fuck people on
right.
film.
Right.
And,
you know, I've
and
never,
you're a porn star.
I've, oh, all right, I've watched her fuck one time on film, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, I was just.
I mean, you can. That's what it's for. It's not just like you have to stop looking at me naked because we're friends now.
That's right.
It's just not the way that it goes.
That's funny. That's
there's no social taboo between you watching porn that I'm in just because we're friends.
A lot of people that I find in porn, it's kind of strange. There's lines that they draw. You know, there's very distinct lines. Like, I remember this couple that I met. We were doing the man show, and this couple came on, and they were talking about how they're allowed to fuck other people while they work. They're both in porn. But then off work, you're not allowed to just go randomly fuck people.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that's a weird distinction. Like, how do you figure that one out? Like, you're okay with them fucking whoever at work. But that was the other thing. Like, one guy was on the set, and his girlfriend started sucking this guy's dick when the camera wasn't running. Right. He's like, hey, what the fuck? And he got all mad.
That's weird.
How crazy is that?
I think that's weird.
How crazy is that? He's like, I've worked fucking, with you guys aren't even filming. And she's just sucking his dick. What? What's up?
I've worked with people and have the same kind of thing where it's like, they can do whatever they want on camera, but the guy has to like stroke himself like when he's like getting ready to go. Like the girl can't help because that's like against their. It's like maybe they might be the same people. I don't know.
Isn't that crazy?
But yeah, it's just they're socially monogamous.
They have a rule. They have there's a line that you draw.
Well,
you're allowed to fuck.
I used to date a guy in the business, and outside of work, we didn't fuck around or whatever.
Wow.
No. And he did some things that I found were questionable, and he was like, there's a camera in the room, and I was like, you're a fuck. That's fucked up. That's not the same thing.
Right.
You know,
just, that's hilarious. Yeah, just home like, porn no, doesn't count?
No,
it has to be paid
but,
porn.
But, I mean, it just... Your boundaries are your own, and it doesn't matter what you do for a living. Just because you're a comedian doesn't, like, right. No one's allowed to tell jokes in my house besides me, you know? Just that's just not the way that life works.
Right.
But, you know, if you have a... like some kind of contract, like marriage, or you're with somebody and you say, okay, well, we live together now, so like I don't want you sleeping with other people, even though I do porn for a living. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just because that's what you've arranged between the two of you.
That's a weird thing, though. Why arrange anything? Why make something that someone can't do? If you're allowing the most sacred of sacred things, you're allowing this person to fuck other people, right, on film. Why not just allow them to be themselves? Why put any boundaries? Well, just here, come here at night, and this is where we live.
I don't know. Because I don't know if sex is not that sacred to some people. Maybe. Because maybe, like, the people that I work with, they don't have my address.
Right.
You know what I mean? And maybe that's a little bit more... My privacy and my security is more sacred to me than the actual physical act of sex.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like pleasure. It's like, would you get mad every time you masturbated to the video or, you know...
What I'm saying is why put a boundary on it, though? Why put a boundary? And not necessarily... I see what you're saying.
Because people are like, letting people, you know, what if they're Virgo and they're just, you know, they want things to be a certain way, you know, so they can be in their realm of comfortability.
Let people do what the fuck they want to do and find someone who you're compatible with instead of trying to morph someone to your expectations. That's the number one problem with relationships.
Being compatible?
Yeah. People find people that are incompatible with them and they try to make them fit. And it doesn't fucking work that way.
Right.
If one person's a control freak and the other person's anal...
But
and
what if they don't? What if they don't want to do the thing that they've agreed that they don't want to do? You know? Like, isn't that compatible?
What?
They've agreed. Like,
you had
you know,
too many negatives in there. I didn't know where the hell you were going.
Sorry.
He took me down
a
dark
road.
That's a huge level. Like, you know, what if their compatibility lies that they both, you know, for what reason or another, think it's okay to do porn, but outside of work, they agree to sleep with only each other. And if they come to that together, that's definitely a compatibility.
Sure. Yeah, good point. Yeah, if they all agree, if they both are happy with
and it's not based on necessarily judgment or whatever. It's just...
You know? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying it's an odd thing that you don't have a boundary on someone fucking people on camera, but you do have a boundary with them doing it for pleasure on their own.
Right.
With another person.
Well, just because that might be emotional. Because that might be point of view of what art is or what
right. And
what
it's
porn
also
is or
because
what sex is.
It's understood when you're fucking
really
on film.
Sex.
Right, exactly.
Porn is acting and athleticism.
Athleticism. That's is that it. What they're calling ass fucking these days?
You should. I look like a spider monkey. I'm a crazy person. And, you know, and it's not comfortable. It's not for you. It's for the camera. It's, you know, and it's hard to do something that does not feel good.
Right.
And act like you feel like it feels good to
you.
Like you literally get fucked sideways. Sometimes it really fucking hurts. It just like
do you ever stretch it out before shoots? You
know,
like
I do.
Butt plugs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What is it? Like, what is?
I don't need to. I have like a huge butt.
Right.
My butthole is humongous.
Oh God!
Is it easy for you to poop? Is it easy for you to poop faster?
I never poop.
Never. Like, can you just sit down and like take care of it in like 3 seconds and then
just launch it out of there like spores coming off a mushroom?
Like a dandelion.
Yeah. It's like a t-shirt launcher. It's like
You have to have an airtight toilet. She has to have an airtight toilet. She squeezes her legs together and covers her snatch with her hands so shit doesn't blast out through the bottom of her legs.
Oh my God.
It just blows out
I'm
like
laughing,
a broken fire hydrant.
I do not approve of this at all.
Just blam! She's just hanging on. She has to take a shower every time she shits. It's just the back of her legs. Looks like she went skidding down a muddy hill. There's no containing her shit.
Oh my god.
Her shit, her asshole's like the Lincoln Tunnel.
It's a one man roast of Dana DiArmond's
asshole. Like, it looks like the back of it looks like the back so of mean. Your shirt when it's raining outside and you're on your bike and the mud has skidded up the back of your shirt.
You're so immature. Ow. I'm laughing because I'm disgusted, not because it's hilarious.
Well. I'm disgusting at myself as well.
It's horrible.
So,
you're not into butt sex in real life?
I am.
Are you good at sex in real life? Like, is it the same? Are you pretty?
I think I'm better on film.
Yeah.
Because I like to exaggerate my movement.
Right.
Why don't you do that in real life, lazy bitch?
Are you very stationary? Are you like, I'm only on the top?
I like
I'm
to be like held down and like smushed.
Are you serious?
Like smushed down into a Tempur-Pedic bed.
Yeah. Well, hey, I like to be dominated.
A little bit.
Yeah, makes sense. You're a big
girl.
No,
not really. Fuck off.
Does. It makes sense. Genetically, you need a strong man to turn
more
you on.
Like being
you
restrained.
You want to feel that if this guy wanted to take it, he could take it.
Sure.
That's what it is. It's natural. You're a big girl. Not bad. Not in a bad way. You are a good specimen. If you wanted to make warrior children, you'd be a good specimen.
I would.
Warrior children with flexible buttholes. You have the perfect DNA for it.
Yes.
Is it hard to date people as a porn star, do you find? Or is it like more of a challenge, do you think?
It depends on the person. I dated a guy a couple years ago, and when we met, like, he knew what I did and stuff like that, and I did not want to be involved with him. And then we started sleeping together after a really long time. He kind of, like, warmed me down a little bit. And then after the it was, like, kind of fucked up. We weren't off to a good start, I'll admit. But, you know, I get bored, too. After we had, like, started dating or fucking and dating, he then, like, looked at porn that I was in and decided that he wanted to be a spaz about it and be like, I don't know, like, knowing you do those types of things, I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, you already knew, but now you want to be bothered because you're a drama queen. It has nothing to do with what I do. It's just that, you know, this
feelings were also starting now. Before it was like zero feelings. I just want to fuck you. Now it's starting to like love gets involved, you know. I think that's probably
a
natural.
But like part of the whole process of wearing me down is like, I don't judge you. Like, I think you know, it's fine. It's like really great because you're really successful. And then it just kind of nosedived into like this, you do those things.
I think for a lot of men, it's very important when they meet a girl that they're sexually attracted to, they want that girl to like them. And I think that is the root of a lot of bullshit. And the guys don't even realize they're doing it. It's a genetic thing. It's a predisposition to wanting to be sexually attractive. And so they start pretending to be someone who they're not. Mm-hmm. And then they get into the relationship, and then it's a couple months in, and they're relaxed and comfortable, and they're like, why am I with this crazy bitch? Yeah. I'm not even into this. And
yeah,
it's like there's a lot of dudes that are just trying to put it together. Like, they don't have the luxury of like actually being honest and trying to like meet someone that they actually like. Mm-hmm. They're so caught up in the game of trying to fuck a chick, and it's so difficult for them that when they finally get one, they tackle her, they get it in there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, got one. Good. Okay. What did I pretend to be doing to do this? I'm not a fucking vegan. I want a steak. Shit.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
that's,
you start
that's a tough
wearing
one.
Yoga beads and stuff.
Oh.
And there's
Cook
dudes
shells.
That will, they, you know,
that's
it's,
hilarious.
They meet a girl that's willing to fuck them like once every couple months, and they got to work hard to take it
just
down.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
Just keep it going.
So they pretend to be someone they're not. I don't know.
It's like spinning
with
plates.
It's just sex.
Each
What's the big deal?
Is a different lie.
What we do together is love. That's just a movie you're making.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. That same drama guy, he was like, I was like, being really depressed or something like that, and he like wanted to lay it on me like, you can't live inside your own pain, and I love you, and I was like,
awesome.
Get the fuck out of here. I was like, you're creeping me out, you're being weird, I don't know where you heard that shit, get the fuck out of my house.
You heard that, because that is something you would hear, that's not something you think of, that's nonsense.
Yeah, I was like, you're full of shit.
Awesome.
Get out. Never
that
come
is
back.
The worst.
Delete
the
my
most
phone number.
Sexually unattractive thing ever is someone who's full of shit.
Yeah, so gross.
It's just so gross. People are full of shit, like, oh God, it's such a bummer. You know, when you hear someone say some nonsense, and then you have to mock them, and then they get mad at you for mocking them, and then it all fucking falls apart.
Oh.
Oh, I used to date this girl who used to write poetry, and it was nonsense.
Oh my God. It was nonsense.
It was her form of expression, but it was so clearly affected and fake and just designed to, like, fucking fire off all the rights. And it was just so artificial, so clear that it was just a bullshit that she was slinging. It was so offensive.
Are you a poetry snob, though? Or do you like just, like, high-quality like poetry?
What about poetry?
I love Bukowski. You know what I love about Bukowski? And, you know, I mean, it's a lot of his stories are, like, really dark. He's a little poet. But... That's a fuck what that guy's thinking about, for real.
Yeah.
You know, that is his real life. That's what he's thinking. That's all I require of an artist. What inflames me is when I think someone is trying to pretend to be someone else. Whether it's a human or a singer or a comedian or an actor, if I feel like you're bullshitting me. Mm. If I feel like you're bullshitting me, it's offensive.
Yeah.
You know, you're reading me your fucking crazy poetry, hooker?
It's insulting to your intelligence.
You're mad at me that I'm laughing at this nonsense?
Tell us a horror story from doing porn. What's one thing that sticks out? Just you fucking just awful experience.
Ooh.
Did you ever like say okay, never again?
I used to do a lot of like BDSM stuff where I was a sub.
Explain that to everybody who's not crazy.
That's so mean.
BDSM. Most people don't have any idea what that means.
Bonded. Well, it's like
sadomasochism.
S&M is sadomasochism.
And when you say a sub, bondage, you are the one that they torture.
Submissive and dominant.
Right.
So it's bondage and
dominatrix.
No, some shit like that.
Yeah.
It's like a code. I don't know. Whatever.
Right. It's like being in the army. When
yeah.
Talk about IEDs.
ROTC.
And
yeah. It's like
it's
being
all extreme
ROTC.
Things. You try to invent little shortenings of them.
Oh yeah. So, yeah, it would be like electrocuted and tied up in bondage and like, you know, hit with different
where
your nipples
everywhere, nipples like in your body with like
your pussy?
Pads, my pussy inside my butthole.
Oh my God!
Like while in like very strict bondage and stuff like that.
Oh my God! Whoa,
it
whoa,
was
whoa!
Very challenging, you know, and it was something that I was really legitimately interested in when I was in my early 20s, and it's something that I thought that maybe. You know, so I consider myself to be a kind of a tough person, and I felt like if I met these challenges, it would prove how tough I was.
God damn!
Wow.
Yeah,
Holy
don't know.
Shit! You like, got electrocuted inside your butthole.
Yeah.
What percentage of the population has ever been electrocuted inside their butthole?
I don't
You're
know.
One of the few.
I mean, they
the proud,
produce
the brave.
Like the tens units, and I mean, they're sold like as medical equipment and stuff like that. I'm sure a fair amount of people have gotten their hands on them. You know, so
and so when you get your
I don't know the I don't have the numbers.
What's the
in
first
front
thing
of me?
You do? You say, "Well, let me stick this thing in my ass.
Well, there's,
turn
there's,
this bitch on and see what's up."
Wait, was that 9-volt battery on your asshole? Shocks
well, there's
you.
People that are into like sounding and stuff.
You get it lit.
Yeah. You, like put a pitchfork in your urethra
right when
and,
you're
like,
about to come. Stick that 9-volt up your ass. Oh shit! You'd be like Iron Man loads.
Da, I don't think it works da, that way, Joe. Da,
da, da. You don't know, though.
Oh, I think I do.
It makes modem sounds.
Well, yeah, but penis, it might make the guy shoot longer loads if you electrocute his butthole.
I think I've had more experience with more penises than you.
I assume.
What do you got?
Whoa. Wait, you don't know that. There's no...
I assume. I'm more than willing to submit to you on this.
Yeah. I'm alphaing the entire room. No, me.
So how long did this whole session take? Were they electrocuting your vagina and your asshole? And
man. It was a first site called WiredPussy.com, and you do
Wired Pussy?
Wired Pussy, yeah.
So it's all electrocuting pussies? There's
yeah.
a site?
It's like
Christ.
It's like female on female subdom.
And they electrocute each other's pussies.
And yeah, and they play play games like who can take the most electricity, or they'll chase blindfolded and partially tied up women around with a cattle prod that makes noise, and you could either go toward it or away from the sound. But if you go away from the sound,
just when I thought I reached
trouble,
the bottom of the darkness in the internet.
Yeah, no, that's like
electrocute
just
the
surface.
Your pussy
that's where
website.
I started.
Have you,
that's where I started.
Have you ever had your pee hole fucked?
Whoa!
No.
Have you ever seen that,
Ryan?
You've seen that. We've talked about this before. Yeah,
no.
There's videos out there of guys fucking girls as
pee
holes.
My pee hole's like really. really small.
And it stretches just like your asshole.
I can't, no. I'm very sensitive in my whole vagina area. Really?
Don't say never. You got to reach goals. You got to build.
Oh, someone is
God, Brian.
Like modifying my body. I went through a phase of like piercing and stuff like that when I was younger.
Don't you have some tattoo above the cookie?
I do, but I'm having it removed. And really? That is so fucking painful. Is it really? It's worse than any like butthole electrocution I've ever gotten.
Really?
To get laser tattoo bad? Removal is so painful. It like agitates the ink molecule in your skin and makes it explode. And with each treatment, it gets smaller and smaller, and it metabolizes out of your body. So
right.
You have to wait a couple months in between sessions, just like long enough that you could forget how much fucking pain you're in. You have to go in and do it again.
Fuck that. I'm just keeping waterfalls.
I got an old tattoo on my shoulder that I want to.
Yeah. It's around my belly button.
I got a sleeve that I'm doing on my right arm, and I have an old tattoo up here that I have to get removed.
You gotta
I've been
cover.
Putting it off.
Just get black.
Really?
Big black box.
But it's just black flag tattoo.
How much worse is it than the actual tattooing?
It's so much worse because you have to go like 20 times.
Really?
And
mine's old.
You could feel like the impact of the laser going into your skin. It feels like being snapped with a rubber band really hard. It instantly burns and it makes your skin swell up. And not when you get a tattoo, it kind of scratches the surface of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
When you get lasered, it's like affecting the color inside your skin. So the blood kind of seeps out like a sponge.
Yo,
I'm gonna wait like 10 years. I'm gonna wait for the technology to get a little bit better.
You just turned me the fuck off to that laser tattoo removal.
Don't do it.
I'm thinking about cooking my arm like that. I'm like, what am I doing to my arm? You could damage your skin, right?
No, I mean it's safe. It doesn't scar.
It doesn't?
No, that's the purpose of it being such a long, slow process. I mean, you could just cut it off if you wanted to. But I wouldn't say that that's the best idea ever.
Right.
So let me ask you this. If WiredPussy.com calls you up next week and says, hey, we're looking to do a shoot. Are you done with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would top. I've gone back to be the dom and to torture girls and stuff. Because I feel like I can confidently say I know what I'm doing and I wouldn't do something to somebody else that I haven't had done to myself.
Yeah, but look at what you've had done to yourself.
Because I know what it feels like. I know. And if they're not a badass bitch like me, then they don't get to fuck me.
Would you ever do fart porn?
Yeah. I fart all the time in my movies.
You fart in your movies?
It's just like when you get fucked in the ass, like your butt is open and gaping is like the big thing where they want to see see your lower colon. They want to see it all in HD, Blu-ray, and 3D.
Yeah.
It's like,
fuck yeah,
3D. I don't know. Jeez. I don't know why people like it. They just do. And I, you know, and just whatever. So like the air goes into your chasm and then you have to kind of fart it out. It's not like I fart like I'm eating a can of beans like a hobo and then I'm going to light my farts on
fire. Have you accidentally ever sprayed?
No. I think I've accidentally peed on people at work and then be like, I'm squirting or whatever. And I don't know.
What is squirting exactly?
Is it really?
When in the movies where a girl is like shooting,
right,
and it's obviously you can see it coming out of her pee hole.
Right.
I'm assuming that a lot of people that watch these movies don't know what a vagina looks like or anything. and they don't know that where all the liquid shooting out of the girl's vagina area or her love zone or whatever nerds call it.
But isn't a pee hole...
Hey!
But hold on a second. Because that's where it would come out anyway. Because isn't a pee hole, like literally like when a woman gets testosterone treatment to become a man, her clit grows to become like a small penis.
Pussy boner.
And that the penis is obviously where any sexual ejaculate would come out of. So of course it's going to come out of where you pee.
I don't really know.
What is it? Is it real? I mean, this is like, well, like Bigfoot.
I used to date a girl that fucking juiced on me, and it was like in my belly button, like a puddle, and it was not. It wasn't pee though. It was like
because
a broth.
When the woman's vagina gets moist, it's not dripping out of her pee hole. It's coming from inside.
I don't think this is moistening. It's not lubricant.
That's what squirting is supposed to be. And when you see it coming out of the pee hole. It's pee.
Well, yeah,
I didn't know it was supposed to come out of the vagina like that.
The Spider-Man like trick that they do when they like finger the pussy and they like press like on the outside.
Spider-Man,
of the,
so you do the fingers do, like when Spider-Man's shooting his web.
Yeah, this is like the Axel Braun method. I watched instructional videos and I was like, "What are they doing?" And they're basically just like pushing on the bladder and just forcing pee to come out.
Jesus Christ.
What?
Yeah.
And then just pissing all over each other.
That's exactly what it is. Like, if you had to force pee out of somebody, that's exactly how you would do it.
Wow.
So that's what all that spraying is. So there is. Yeah. So girls are spraying on dudes. They're pissing all over them.
Yeah, unless they have like an extra juicy G spot or something like that. Like, I'm not going to say, like, I'm not going to say female ejaculation is a myth because I'm not a doctor and I can't say that. I mean, and, you know, pussies get wet and some pussies are wetter than others.
Yeah.
We're talking to an expert here, Dana D'Armond, here live on the podcast.
Not a doctor, not a doctor.
Call in now.
Can you put a condom on a dick with just putting it in your mouth and doing that trick?
I cannot even remember the last time I used a condom.
God damn. Wow. Do you ever worry about diseases?
No, I get tested every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So how do you keep clean when you're
Because everybody gets tested every 3 weeks.
Right.
Then you have
3 weeks for a porn star, though? Jesus Christ. How many sorry dicks can you be exposed to in 3 weeks?
Well, like, I worked with Mark Wood twice last week, so it's like the same wiener. Same wiener, same week.
Do you guys develop like a relationship when you have like sort of on screen?
Yeah. I mean, I think the people I work with are cool. It's not like I'm like, ooh, like, I'm so super horny for you. Let's do things after this.
How many of them
like,
wanted
to
do?
He's married to Francesca Lay, you know, and they're fucking awesome. And I know both of them. I've worked with both of them.
How many of the dudes that are in porn wanted to do mainstream things but couldn't make it and have, like, some sort of a weird thing where they...
I don't know. It seems to be, like, a lot of guys are musicians. And they're all, like, trying to get together, like, a band with all the other dudes.
Because, Slinging Dick.
Yeah.
That's what they should call it. Exactly. That'd be a badass name for a band.
Yeah.
Slinging Dick.
Slinging Dick.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like, oh, I'm at work, I'm doing my work things, but I don't really ask people too much about their personal
lives. Have you ever
worked
with Tyler Knight?
Yeah.
Tyler's a very good friend of mine.
We were actually just both on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, really?
A XXX parody. Digital Sin. Nice. And Revolution X. Coming soon.
And that was like a big dream for you.
And he was Geordi. Yeah, and I was...
She's
Benson
a huge
Rowe.
Star Trek fan.
I'm a nerd. I was stoked. I called my dad and I was like, I'm reading for the part of Ensign Rowe for the Star Trek parody. And he was like, that's so cool. And I was like, no, Dad, if I don't get this part, I'll die. Like, super seriously, like, no, this has to be my part or I'm freaking out.
Tyler is a friend of mine from Jiu-Jitsu, and he's a really good writer. Have you ever read any of his stuff?
No.
He's got a blog online, and
smart.
Of it is about... He's very smart.
He's
such a cool guy.
And he's smart, and he's very polite.
Yeah. He's very well-spoken. He was on the podcast. We had him on, and he's a fascinating dude. But I already knew
he's
that
cool.
from talking to him at Jiu-Jitsu and stuff. But his writing is great. Really interesting stuff. And his writing's about the porn business. He's got this one story that he wrote about a gangbang that is just like, you fucking feel the loads on the floor like as you're reading it. You feel like this sticky room. You feel the heat of all these guys behind him. He does a masterful job of describing this fucking incredibly gonzo, bizarre film that they're doing. I mean, you get paid $50 and you wait in line. You're like one of 100 guys waiting to, you know, and you're jerking yourself off as you're getting up to this girl who's just covered in loads. There's loads all over the ground. Everywhere you walk, there's loads.
Wet. It's just like slippery and wet.
You're stepping
free
in
cum everywhere.
Guys loads. Everywhere you go.
I've never done one of those.
There's these little signs that say slippery when wet that they have to put up around the woman. Yeah. You know, like at a restaurant.
That would be awesome.
Who was the first person to do that? Was it Houston? Was she the first? Or were there
other
ones before her?
It was probably before I was born.
Because the numbers just keep going up. You know, at one point in time, it was like the most
Asian
people.
Asian woman, I think. She had sex with like 200.
Sex. Annabella Chong. And she's got it's a fascinating documentary. Yeah. And like you, she's very intelligent. She's very unusual. She was I think she was a student at UCLA. I might be wrong. UCLA or USC, but she was like, she's an intelligent person. And she just had this weird desire to test the boundaries of her, you know, acceptable sexuality by doing a gangbang film. Yeah. But it was really interesting. Like, it was because you know, they really like got into like her psychology and who she is. I'm like, wow, this is a complex sort of a fucking case where this woman wants to experience the ultimate taboo. You know,
kind of weird. Yeah. My agent called me one time and he was like, "What's the most number of cocks you'll suck in one time?" And I was like, "I don't fucking care," you know. And he was like, "You know, how about 11?" And I was like, "Fine." Like, what difference does it make if I fuck 11 dudes in the same day or in pairs of, you know, ones, twos, and threes on
Well, I would just imagine
days.
After like the third or fourth giant black cock, your lips would start to get numb.
No.
In your head, though, is 11 cock days.
Because
like,
you're like
fuck,
fucking like
awesome.
The same amount of time.
When you stretch your mouth, you're like, Like that shit would. That seems like it would make your lips numb.
Yeah,
after
a huge mouth.
I do have a huge mouth. It's good for my career.
Comes in handy. Now, did you know that you wanted to be a porn star when you were younger? Is this something?
No, I did. I actually did like part of this as like a bit of. With the Midnight Show guys. They did This Is Your Life, Bob Guccione.
This is the Midnight Show guys? What is it?
Yeah, UCB. Okay. You know, Hal Rudnick and stuff. And I was like, oh, This Is Your Life, Bob Guccione. And I come out and I'm like, oh, I've been such a big fan of you for forever and stuff. Because when I was like in the first grade, probably 6 years old, I found a stack of Playboy magazines that were...
In the woods?
No, they were my uncle's. My uncle stayed with us part time. No, they were just out. They were just like out in his room. And I remember I took one of those magazines to school to first grade, and I was like showing everybody, this is what a naked lady looks like. You know, I was like such a boy. I was such a tomboy when I was that age. But even then I was like, this is like what a sexy lady looks like, and I want to grow up, and this is, you know, I want to turn out like this, a sexy lady. Like, that's kind of, like, that appealed to me. I thought, wow, she's gorgeous. She's all made up. She's, you know, pretty and naked and thin, nice boobs, you know. And I was like, yeah, that, like, really appealed to me.
Were you attracted to girls before you started doing movies?
Yeah. And I also thought, like, if I don't turn out to be this, I had, like, a failsafe in my brain. I was like, if I don't turn out to be a sexy lady, I would at least want to be with one, like have one like as my girlfriend, or like just, you know, be in the presence of that, because it was appealing to me and I found it attractive. I'm a gay. Yeah, I'm a big I'm gay.
You got a lot going
on. I came
on
your show because I want to say that I'm out.
I have a big pussy boner.
And I have a pussy boner. And I take it in ass.
So how did you get into your first film? How did it come about? How old are you? How long have you been doing this?
Seven years. 24 when I got in. I'll be 32 in June.
And what were you doing before that?
I was a stripper. I was a drunk stripper, too.
The best kind.
And did someone approach you and say, hey, I like the way you dance?
No, absolutely not. No, I actually quit drinking. I think I already told this story on your show, maybe. I quit drinking, and I got fired from being a stripper, and I had been thinking about applying to this porn site because it had fucking machines on it. And this is how I got into the business.
Fucking machines?
Just of sheer, like, morbid curiosity of fucking a robot and just really thinking about it. And I used to, like, masturbate in the shower and, like,
right,
think
but
about
fucking a robot,
robot
and fucking a robot on the internet.
I heard it
too, totally.
And I heard it's awful, by the way. What was your experience like fucking a machine?
I had a lot of fun.
Really?
Brian's talked to girls that fuck robots.
I actually talked about it today. No joke.
Really?
This comes up all the time for
That's
Brian.
Hilarious.
This is like, that's hilarious. You just have that face that people feel like they can approach you and talk about fucking robots.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy to be into it. You're really kind of into nerdy things.
Just have one of those faces. So yeah, I just ended up applying to that site, and that's how I got to do all the bondage stuff, is because it's the same company ran Hogtied and Wired Pussy and all these whole, and they even have a female wrestling site, Ultimate Surrender, where they have women wrestling. They grapple,
so they've got
like,
the market and, cornered on kinky pain shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
What a weird business.
That's
Does
huge.
Ever trip
they bought
you out?
The Armory up in San Francisco. It's basically a castle.
You know
it's
what?
Huge.
I saw that online, or on a television show, rather. There was some sort of an expose on it about how much money they make and how big their business is.
Huge.
Enormous.
But they also, they really improve that neighborhood. They give back to their community. They do a lot of stuff. You know, they open their drill court to, you know, when they have parades and shit. Like, people can set up their floats. They open their private business to the community to do things, or have swap meets inside there. It's like a crazy jungle of naked people running around and like fucking
They're doing things
heathens.
In studios.
They're people in offices, like on computers.
San Francisco is a place where that would be accepted. San Francisco's, in my opinion, it's the most open-minded city in the whole country.
You would be surprised. They were in the Wall Street Journal talking about like we know there's people fucking in there.
But it doesn't matter. There's always going to be some people like that. But
where do you think their neighbors came from?
The amount of people that would support it would be much larger in San Francisco than anywhere else. Of course, you're always going to come across people that are very vocal that want to fight something. But all in all, San Francisco is the most open-minded city, I think, in the whole country.
Hmm. We should do a study on that.
I mean, could you imagine that happening in Chicago where there's a whole block filled with, you know, people that are tying people up and fucking them with rubber robots and shit? You know, that could only take place in like San Francisco. Yeah. I don't think there's any other place that would accept something like that.
New York, maybe. I mean, it seems like New York has maybe a lot of fucking at the bondage clubs.
New York and LA would be the only other options, mm-hmm. I think. And I think they'd be met with a lot more resistance in New York or LA.
Europe. Yeah, anywhere. Of course. Yeah. Berlin, Budapest.
I was in Berlin, and I turned on the television, and Oberhausen. And I turned on the television, and there was a gangbang on TV. Nice. Just a full-on gangbang. It's just no warning, just flipping through the channels.
Wow.
And there's 10 people fucking in a room. I'm like, wow, this is wild. Like, they have a totally different attitude about it. They just show the shit on television.
It's pretty intense.
What are you doing there, Brian?
I just looked at the bassist for Alice in Chains died.
What? When?
Of what?
Mike Starr.
I don't know him.
So you don't care?
Yeah.
Fuck him.
He was on Celebrity Rehab. I don't know if you remember him. Yeah.
The OD.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, it looks like they found his body in Salt Lake City.
Charlie Sheen lives, winning, still alive.
Barely.
He doesn't have tiger blood.
I don't know.
He doesn't have Adonis DNA. He's not a freaking rock star from Mars.
Well, I guess that guy probably didn't have to pay girls $30,000 to have sex with him either.
He probably has. Yeah. He's got a lot of money. Shit.
I don't know. Things happen. But he's a rock star.
Crazy thing is, Charlie's so coked
up.
Not
like a doughy, like slippery, sweaty guy with five kids.
Charlie pays these girls.
Because that's what I see when I see Charlie
talk.
Sheen. I would rather fuck a rock star than like somebody that's fucking five kids.
Well, the crazy thing is that Charlie Sheen calls himself a rock star, but he's on this. You know,
I like forgot
really
that he wasn't dead
sitcom.
For like the longest.
He's on this
totally
complete
new to me.
Family sitcom. You know, I mean, it's like this really bland, you know, kind of da-da-da-da, wonk. You know, it's no edge to it. It's like really vanilla. You know,
it's the number one comedy for some reason. I talked to my friend today, and he watches it every week, and I'm like, really, you
like
watch
it?
That show?
There's
and
he like goes, a fat goes, kid, Charlie Sheen, and like a gay guy.
Yeah, but he's like, it's the exact same show every week. You know, it's like the same premise every week. But he's like, it's one of those shows you could just kind of watch, you know, and it's easy to watch.
Oh, it's smooth right. enough.
It's smooth and
smooth
it's
enough
funny enough.
Well, you know what, man? I mean, reality television has proven that you don't really need to be that funny to get people to watch it.
Yeah.
You just need to it needs to become a part of their everyday existence. They get like, let's see what's going on Ice Road Truckers. Shit, the boys are on a slippery road again.
Again. You know?
It becomes, I mean, Ice Road Truckers. There's a show about slippery roads.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. if that can exist, you can have a show about anything. And a sitcom that's like been around for a while, it's fairly decent, it's got a few good laughs in it. But I bet for Charlie Sheen, it's like he's smoking coke and banging whores, and then he's going and doing this super bland television show. I bet that built up inside of him. I bet that like made him go more over the edge.
Well,
I
his
really
character,
do
his character was pretty Charlie. Much himself though in that show. I mean, it might have been a vanilla show, but he still was a drunk guy that just fucked a bunch of chicks. Yeah. I mean, it was like he wasn't really off his
Charlie,
road a little.
Charlie
no,
Sheen
sure
acts.
He was. What?
Can he act?
Fuck yeah. He
oh,
can
yeah.
You ever see Platoon? You ever see Wall Street?
Street, yeah.
Charlie Sheen can act his fucking ass off.
Watch. I didn't see Netflix either of those.
Listen,
shit.
Charlie Sheen
I've
was a bad
Ferris
motherfucker when he was a young man.
Stay off.
He's not in that, does he?
Yeah, he's in The Office, and he's like,
oh,
just
yeah.
Like, really, like,
he's like the really hot guy that's in trouble, and the girl's there with him.
Yeah, Jennifer Grey.
She's
original
fucking,
nose.
And she's all excited about him. Yeah.
What was
nose.
The movie that Charlie
Sheen
should
have kept that nose,
fuck?
Right?
Yeah.
That wasn't a bad nose. Just that's your nose, hooker.
What was the movie that Charlie Sheen.
He was in
Sheen,
Hot Shots. He was in Scary
Part
Movie 2? 3
yeah.
or 4.
Yeah.
What was the movie that Sheen played himself, but it played like him, like he was friends with the main character?
I think you're thinking of John Malkovich.
Yes, yeah. John Malkovich. That was an awesome cameo with him in it. Do you remember that?
No,
but
hardly.
As far as I can tell, he plays himself, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Charlie Sheen, you see Platoon, he's a bad motherfucker.
I haven't seen that.
You see Wall Street.
It's not bad.
Oh, it's no, very good.
It's
still
before
hold
my
up.
Time.
It's all fucking good.
You know what holds up, dude?
What?
Silence of the Lambs. Holds the fuck up. I watched Silence of the Lambs the other night. It's a good goddamn movie. Still, it still
put the
holds
lotion
up.
In the basket.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's well written. It's well acted.
She was a bad girl.
Dude, fucking Anthony Hopkins was a bad motherfucker in that movie. Still, you know he's become like this guy that does like these movies that suck. He played
he's
the Wolfman's
like,
dad. You know, I mean the Wolfman dad.
He's
did you see that?
Possessed by a demon in every movie.
You didn't see the Wolfman, did you?
No, no, but he was also in Super Mario Brothers, wasn't he? He was in something fucking retarded
Even in the Wolfman, which is a terrible movie, he still like has these scenes, these moments where he's just this bad motherfucker. He's just doing crappy ass movies. But you go back to Silence of the Lambs and you realize what he's capable of if he gets a good script, if he gets a good part. Anthony Hopkins just smashes it out of the ballpark in that movie.
Woo!
Fucking smashes it, dude. He's so on, like it crackles. Like it makes you nervous for her while she's talking to him. Like you fucking believe 100% that dude has murder in his mind. When he's talking and he's talking to her, Anthony Hopkins is thinking about eating her. He's thinking about cutting out. He's allowing himself to go to some crazy dark place where he's acting, where you could tell, like, that's really what he's fucking thinking about, man. He could turn it on. He can go to that dark, crazy, psychotic, worst case scenario human example. He can go there in his mind. That's the difference, man. It's just like comedy, man. It's like you have to really be fucking thinking about what you're saying. There's not just the words and the noises that represent certain things to me. I got to know that you're thinking about these things as you're saying them. You know, and that's the difference between a great performance and a performance that's just kind of mediocre and can trick dummies. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone's really nailing it.
I told a 22-year-old actor that just got here from LA, I was like, acting is just pretending like you don't know what you're going to say next. And he got so offended and he ended up moving back to Tennessee. Fuck you. Can't take the heat out of the kitchen, bitch. Right.
Listen, if that's all that set this fucking kid off, was some porn star telling him that acting is fake. I've always said that if you can lie, you can act, and if you can lie to a crazy girlfriend, you can act under pressure. It's not that hard. It's just pretending. The hard thing is auditions. Auditions are way harder because you have to pretend that it's happening when you're in this really unrealistic scenario.
Yeah.
You're sitting in this office, and there's people in desks, chairs, and they're facing you with paper in their hand. They're reading off the paper, and you're responding like it's real. And you're like, this is just – I'm good, man. You're like, this is just too strange. It doesn't ring real to me.
I don't really do well in those types of scenarios.
Have you done any 3D movies for real yet?
Yeah, I just did 3 Penthouse movies.
And how do they differ from like doing regular movies? Do they make you do weird angles? Like you have to spread your lips out towards the cameras or something?
Well, like when you disrobe or something, you would like sort of throw your clothes toward the camera or kind of like put like one leg off the bed, like kind of dangling toward the camera or something. So
what about when guys shoot loads? Do they shoot them at the camera?
I don't really notice. I'm like kind of like in the zone.
You gotta be careful if you're not filming. If you don't have a pillow behind you, you don't want to smash your head on the headboard.
The camera has to be like 8 feet away for the 3D effect to work. Right. And so you gotta like.
Clearly, you've never seen my loads. Far away. You've never seen the distance that I can
get.
Very,
very far away.
What is it about some dude? What do some dudes eat, like Peter North? What does that guy eat to make so much sperm? It's ridiculous.
Zinc supplements?
Is that what it is?
Zinc.
And
I gotta remember
my ex-boyfriend told me also PC exercises, like the muscle that you use to like stop your pee.
Oh, right.
You know, like a Kegel, like a woman has a Kegel muscle, like the PC muscle is what guys have, I guess. And apparently if you just do that a lot, it can strengthen the muscle and you'll shoot further.
Really?
Yeah.
Doing it right now.
Practice it.
Some people just drink egg whites.
Exercising it right now.
Egg whites.
Yeah.
They think if it looks like loads will come out more. Wait.
Well, I've seen people do it.
That's some wives' tales type shit.
Yeah.
That's probably psychological, man. It's probably some placebo effect.
Right.
Yeah. It's like The Secret, but with loads.
Yes.
You know,
The Secret. Put it on your vision board.
You believe I'm going to shoot the longest load ever. What do you think is the furthest anyone's ever shoot a load? Because I remember hitting myself in the face once when I was 16 and being shocked. My girlfriend, I pulled out and, you know, my head
sometimes
was down.
Just,
I was looking
like,
and it blasted me right in the face.
I still do that. I make it rain all the time. Like, I'm fucking, why is this squirting on my forehead?
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes
it's
they
out of
go
nowhere.
Really far. Like, what's the furthest you think anybody's ever shot a load?
Spider-Man.
What is the furthest? Is it even 5 feet?
I
probably
would,
more, right?
I would say so. I mean,
it depends if you have an arc.
It also
what
depends
the temperature's
on,
like, if there's a headwind.
Yeah, yeah, it's like
depends
Tiger Woods
on how
golf.
Long your dick is. Because a guy like, you know, some giant dick John Holmes type dude would
got
have a
advantage.
Massive advantage.
Yeah.
He's got a 6-inch reach advantage. It's like John Jones.
But
you know?
Maybe
got long arms.
It loses some pressure going through that long
dude,
of a dick.
Dude, I like what you're thinking.
Yes.
Scientifically,
yeah.
I like
it
that.
Might, but maybe a shorter barrel We'll get more of
a lot. Makes sense, right? Like a 38 special. But it seems like a rifle would be much more accurate, right?
Yeah. Here's a little tip, by the way. If you put a little bit of green...
Shotgun, just bunk shot.
If you put, like, St. Patty's Day, you know? St. Patty's Day. This is awesome. St. Patty's Day. Put a little bit of green food coloring around your dick before you have sex. And when you shoot out, it actually is green.
Yeah, that's good. And what if you make a baby and it fucking looks like the Hulk?
A green baby, because that could asshole. Happen.
What if you ruin the baby? What if it gets in the spermatozoa and the spermatozoa gets some crazy green signal and shoots it into the egg, and somehow or another the kid becomes green?
That would be fucking awesome.
I wonder if it's ever happened before. If anybody's ever like done something where like the kid came out a funky color because of that. Like, I know
I'm sure that people have probably been tricked to think that.
Probably.
Like, maybe a white woman having a half black baby and was like, it's a recessive gene.
Right.
Right, honey.
Back in the old days, right? Look, that's the story of Jesus.
Right.
I mean, the story of Jesus most likely is it marries a whore, right?
That's cool.
That's the story of Jesus, right? Immaculate conception. Right. Come on, bitch.
Yeah.
What kind of crazy shit is this? But back then, in the biblical days, you just had to accept it.
Maybe she was raped by one of those strong men.
Maybe she wanted it. She cried rape.
But she's dressing like that and those
her fucking robes. I see your ankles, bitch. Yeah. See your ankles.
Yeah, but she had a dirty ass, too.
And back then, you only lived to be like 30. You had to get your rapings in while you could.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. You guys.
Listen, you've had an electric charge inside your asshole. If this is horrible.
It was consensual. Oh, it was very consensual.
So is this conversation.
Yeah.
We've all agreed to be here. And these people have agreed to tune in. And I know 2,360 of them right now are regretting their choice.
Oh, you guys. It's cool.
No, it is cool.
That's a lot of people.
It's actually 2,600.
Well, it's
going to
be a lot more than that. When
I forgot
they listen
anyone
to the whole
was
thing.
Watching this right now.
You've done other podcasts before, right? You've done Sam Tripoli. Did you do Marin's too?
Death Squad, yeah.
Did Marin. I just did the Nerdist podcast. Chris Hardwick.
See, you're. That's what's fascinating about you is like as far as like girls that are in your business, you're much more known for your personality than any of the other ones.
Thanks.
You know? And I think a lot of it is those videos that you do. You know,
where
you break like the Adam Sandler video, you're breaking things down. Yeah, like
breaking
what else you do?
Down.
You have a mailbag where you read people's emails.
Yeah,
and respond
when MySpace when MySpace was before it was like just a spam graveyard, I would get like this really super heinous hate mail that was so. Just so many different levels of wrong and rude and misspelled and English. Just like really mean, like, I hope you get fucking cancer in your brain and die of AIDS because you're a whore and you should accept Jesus in your life. And I'm just like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, right?
Jesus Christ would not fucking waste his time to wish me dead of AIDS and cancer. Like,
yeah,
get with
Jesus
it,
Christ would try to help you out, you fuck.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Get Jesus in your life. How about you, dude?
That's ignorance. That's
well, there's a lot of that out there. You know, when you're allowed to be anonymous, it's a very unnormal situation.
It's so gross.
It's an unnatural situation in human behavior. We're supposed to, like, we get rewards and we get pleasure and we get all this from interacting with each other. But when you're interacting with each other completely anonymously through, like, wires and it's all ones and zeros,
you can take them down a peg and say something really mean.
Dude, I get that all day. I get it every day on Twitter. There's always some douchey dude who says something, and I just block him. Like, I don't have time. I'm not going to argue with you.
It's not like we can't spare followers. Yeah. You have 200,000 something. I have 37,000 something. I mean, it's cool.
Not even that. I would rather have one that follows me. That's nice. That's it. Yeah. 280 million people wanted to be cunts, I would stop being on Twitter.
It's
you know,
so rude.
It's fun though. The cool people way outnumber the shitheads.
Yeah.
And like you get like really cool interact. Like last night, I wrote on Twitter that Charlie Sheen was reminding me of Hunter S. Thompson the way he's talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I said we were right outside of Barstow when the drugs began to take hold. And then I got like hundreds and hundreds of tweets of people quoting Hunter S. Thompson lines from the book. It was fucking great.
Cool.
It was really good. Let's get down to brass tacks. How much for the ape? And they just kept coming over and over again. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is like a really interesting thing to interact with.
There's
like-minded
a lot of
people.
Smart people on the internet.
Yes, yeah. I have a message board and I want you to be a part of it. Because you would fit in like a fucking glove. It's a great message board, and it's all psychos and weirdos.
What's
and
it called?
And you're a moderator now.
Board. It's on JoeRogan.net. We'll make you a. I'll make you a moderator for sure.
Really?
We need more women. We only have like a couple of women moderators. I got to make sure that you know you can handle it at first.
Yeah, you just can't snap and go crazy.
Yeah, you can't get in arguments with people. It's not worth it. But when people are douchebags, I send them to the retard room. I have two rooms. I have like one is like the main forum you can go to. There's a combat sports forum for like MMA stuff, and then there's a regular forum, and then there's a podcast forum, and then there's special ed. And special ed is if you're a douchebag.
Yeah.
If you act like a shithead, yeah, you're stupid.
Think about what you did.
Yeah, you want to insult people all the time for no reason. Get in the fucking tarred bin, dummy. Yeah, but because of that, we've like established a pattern and accepted like levels of communication. Everybody's really cool there. It's a and fascinating fucking shit. Yeah, and fascinating fucking shit comes out of there. You know, there's so many interesting. There's a story that I read on there the other day about these new fungi that they found in the Amazon rainforest that turns ants into zombies.
Oh, yeah.
It takes over the ant's brain.
Ants are horrible anyway.
Well, that's why they're there. They're there to keep the ant population at bay. This fungus grows inside an ant's body, rewires
it.
Oh,
and
it
drills
it,
into its head.
Grows right out of its head.
And it grows out of its head
after
and like
it's
eats
dead.
Its,
yes.
What?
Its ant juice out of its little
and it, it also causes other ants to cannibalize. They cannibalize each other, and there's four different types of them. And then when one bullet ant will find that this fungus has infected one of their own,
they will
kill it and take it deep into the woods,
deep into the jungle.
Yeah, it's like they know what the fuck is. Fascinating shit.
That was like
on
Life, narrated by Oprah Winfrey. I think
was it really?
I think that was. It was like the generic version of Planet Earth.
Oprah's such a badass bitch. I watched the Oprah Network. I'll be watching it. It's fascinating to me. I watched it the other day. Yeah, I got a TV in my gym, and I was working out in the gym. I was on the
watching
elliptical,
Oprah.
And I was watching the Oprah Network, and I was watching her.
She other stuff on there.
She was considering whether or not she should have Nadia Suleiman on her show, whether they should help her, and they decided to get someone to come on and help her financially.
No one should help her, ever.
It's interesting, though. It's interesting listening to Oprah, like how she talks and how she thinks. Like, you get behind that woman, like, she's like, she really is all about reaching out and helping people be the best person they can be and love. Like, that's really what she's into.
Right.
Like, it's so easy to criticize her. It's so, like, cliche. She's on TV all the time. You know she's an easy target. But when you look at, like, what she does, like, she is a bad motherfucker.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Oprah is like
what
legit.
Like everyone would hate the shit out of her if she wasn't like with the amount of money that she has. If she was like being like Charlie Sheen is, people would be like, fuck you black
imagine
lesbian
Oprah,
bitch.
I got this bitch in Rockstar
like,
Life.
Yeah,
you imagine if she was talking about
that
in Rockstar
so
Life.
Cute.
I'm like a freaking rock star from Mars. You know,
hang out with my friends.
If anybody's a rock star from Mars, it's Oprah. Yep. You know, I mean, she has some man that's just like in the shadows and shuts his hole. That guy doesn't even talk unless spoken to. Stedman sits around, waits. He waits three paces behind her, and he doesn't say shit unless she asks him a question.
I bet Oprah has very big areolas
anymore.
They're not together.
I don't
anymore?
Think they are.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
Did Gail finally force it out?
Yeah, I think that's
full Gail.
Full Gail. That's the rumor, right? That's what's up.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, the own station has. Like a bunch of gay-friendly stuff on it.
They had a great show the other day. Mm-hmm. I was on the Oprah Network, and it was all about transsexuals.
Yep.
It was very eye-opening, man, to look into, because I have a friend whose son is becoming a transsexual. His son is about to change from a man into a woman, and it's really strange because his son's about to change from a man into a woman, and his son is like into girls still, so his son is like becoming a lesbian.
It's a lesbian. Wow.
Very, very bizarre. And he's gonna go. Apparently, I don't know if he's gonna go through the operation. I don't know what the entire full story is. But they had this whole show dedicated to it, and they had some kids. I mean, there was a boy that was like a little boy. Okay, he looked like he was like 7 or 8 years old, and he was wearing a dress, and he wanted to be a girl. You know, and I'm like, whoa, like you know.
Because the younger you start, the more convincing you can be. If you just avoid going through the whole male puberty thing, you stand a chance of being a more convincing woman after your transition.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you can really be sure of your choice at that young an age. But it's, God, you talk to the parents and it's like very convincing what they're saying. It's not like, it's so easy if you're a normal gender oriented person.
I don't think anybody
has
that phase where you're like 7 years old and you're like, I'm transgendered.
it's
not a phase. It's not a fucking phase.
I agree with you, but who knows if it's a part of what's going on as you're young, and then as your hormones kick in, as you become 18 and 19, maybe say, no, I'm just a gay man. You know, maybe it's like that simple.
But
maybe
he likes
you'll transition.
Then he's just a straight man.
Right. What I'm saying is, I mean,
very
you can't.
Lady-ish.
I don't think you should really necessarily be fucking with your hormones until they settle in. I mean, I can understand someone being a grown adult and saying, okay, I want to be a woman. I've faked this long, too long. This is what I want to do. But when you're a child, shit, I don't even know what the fuck I was going to. I mean, could you imagine if you had to choose
what you're
going to be
dude,
forever?
You know, like, that's probably normal for straight dudes. You know, what. you know, if I turned out to be like a completely straight person, I probably wouldn't have been like lusting over nudie magazines and like showing them to people and being like,
I think you have to account
a little
for
gay
change,
and like a little gay girl.
Right. When you're talking about children, I think you have to account for change. You know, I'm not saying you should completely discredit the idea that this is really a girl trapped in a boy's body. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying you have to account for change. Like, as far as like adding hormones to their body and stuff, like that seems like a really radical choice. And one of these kids was like 10 years old and they were giving
them
testosterone.
People are putting all sorts of crazy medicine in their kids and they're just like, whatever, you know, just kiddie Prozac and stuff like that, you know.
Which is another fascinating subject.
I mean, it's better. I think it would be better if a child was like, I know this about myself, instead of like some going, my kid is unreasonable, like because they let the TV babysit it and then like pump your kid full of Ritalin because they're hyper. They're just maybe undisciplined.
I have a next door neighbor that used to live down the street that was Ritalin up their kid, and it was really
sad. That's
probably
fucking your kid up more than listening to them when they try to identify their sexuality or their gender.
The kid was not a bad kid. The parents were terrible. They were terrible at parenting, and the kid was lost, and the kid always seemed to me like they just wanted someone to tell them what was up, give them a hug, tell them what was up. They were two of the most lost kids ever because their parents were a fucking holy wreck.
Right.
They would yell at each other in public, and it was just a disaster, and they started pilling their kids up. And it was like I was living next door to zombies. It's like, look at this. Like, the zombie, these people have been taken over by spores. I mean, those pills might as well be the fucking spores that jack those ants. It's the same thing. It just takes, so it's a chemical thing that happens to a kid where it takes over their brain, rewires it, and makes them think and behave totally differently. And then all of a sudden these kids were like these little slack-jawed zombies. I was like, wow, they done neutered their fucking kids' brains.
Yeah.
You
know? It's fucking crazy. It's crazy how easy it is to have that sort of that sort of power to just do that to your kids. I know another person who I know his kid is not fucked up, and he's got his kid on some sort of riddle and shit because his kid's too active. Because his kid is fucking alive, and they're older. They didn't have the kid until they were like in their 50s. They adopted him.
Wow. They can't keep up.
They can't keep up at all, so they have this fucking kid medicated.
Handicap your kid. Yeah. Oh, treat him to the stove. Whatever.
This kid is nothing. There's nothing wrong with this kid. I've talked to him. He's just a wild little motherfucker. You know, and so what do they got? They got them all pilled up. It's like, all right, good luck. How many generations have we had of people that were pilled up like this, though?
Oh, forever.
No, I don't think so. With social engineering, I mean, Prozac came into mind when I was, I believe when I was in high school, it was the first time
Heard before that, it was like institutionalizing people and lobotomizing people and shock therapy, like a Blue Iris.
Right,
you know, she was never normal after that.
But it's never reached the extent that
what did Blue Iris get?
She had electroshock therapy repeatedly.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
And she tried to cure her porn.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know who Blue Iris is.
She's on the Howard Stern show a lot.
She's an old school porn star, is that what she is?
Yeah, and she passed away.
Yes.
She passed away?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a difference between the few people that are so completely out of control that they need to be institutionalized to people that don't like their job, so they give you a pill so they don't feel like shit at the end of the day every day. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of people that are just doing that. They're physically not healthy. Their diet sucks. They don't exercise. And they do a job that sucks. And they wonder why they feel depressed at the end of the day. I mean, it's real simple. You don't need Prozac. You need a new fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you need to do. You need to figure out what the fuck you really want to do and realize that you're only here for X amount of years. So the more time you spend not moving in the direction of your actual interests, the more you're going to fucking hate yourself. You're going to be depressed. It's just natural. But they don't say that. They give you some fucking pills. There's a lot of people that need pills.
Should
be like a
motivational speaker. Should. Like
Tony
Robbins.
Ready to take over from fucking Charlie Sheen.
That's why I joined our cult, Dana.
Oh, is this my orientation?
Yes.
You want to be in? You can totally be in our cult.
I thought that it might be something like
that.
That
wasn't water you've been drinking.
Oh, whoops.
We need funny chicks, and you're totally invited.
Yeah.
If you want to be in, you can be in our cult at any time.
Definitely.
Our cult is, all you have to do is just don't be a douchebag. It's so simple.
I try. I don't know. Kind of a douchebag.
Well, somehow. You do are a little, but it's natural. Look at what you do. Look at how many people are yelling at you. Look at how many people point at you and sending you shitty emails all day.
So
it's natural to be on the defensive and start fucking with Jennifer Aniston.
I know. I mean, she's so harmless.
She's so harmless.
And I think it's so funny because Chelsea Handler was like, Angelina Jolie's a cunt because she's like friends with Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, look at Chelsea Handler sticking up for Jennifer Aniston.
I've known Chelsea forever.
Oh, my God.
I've known Chelsea
so funny.
Since the early days of, I wrote one of the reviews of her book. Her first book was My Horizontal Life.
Yeah.
She's I love party girls. To me, I think it takes every kind of people, like that song. It takes every kind of people. Da, da,
da, da, when are you going to get her on the podcast? We need to get
her. She's probably way too busy. I wouldn't even ask her. She's got a sitcom going on. She's got some sort of a reality show going on about her show. And then she's got her show. She's way too busy.
Do you
she's
really super need a ambitious. Show about a show that's already a show, really?
Like, yeah, that's
Larry like, Sanders' show, but she's got a show. It's like, I mean, that's what so it is. Messed up. Why not? Fuck it. She's got interesting people behind the scenes. She wants to showcase it.
Including our friend, our really good friend, Eva. She's on that show.
Eva from Denver.
Yeah.
She used to work at the Comedy Works.
Her assistant, I think.
Oh, yeah. Eva's the best. I love that chick. I haven't talked to her in forever. She was this really cool chick that worked for the Denver Comedy Works. Just super on the ball and super friendly. She used to take us to media. Like, one of the nicest people ever. And then became friends with Chelsea. And like, she was such a diamond that it was just waiting for someone to come along and scoop
and
her
grab
up.
Her.
Like, I told her, like, if she moved to L.A., I would give her a job as an assistant. I'm like, you're the coolest chick ever. Like, I've never even thought about having an assistant because it seems so preposterous that you can't. What the fuck? You got a business manager. You also need assistment. Could you go get me a latte? You know, like, get out of here. That's ridiculous. But for her, I would do it
that's
just to give her a job.
That's why you have kids. Like, you can convince them
to do
things.
Get a 2-year-old. Get your
can
latte.
You go,
watch what happens.
Go to the fridge and get me.
Come back screaming and covered in burns.
I don't know.
2-year-old kids.
You can get kids to put away dishes, load dishwasher, dust, vacuum.
Sure.
Yeah.
You could
mow
that.
The lawn.
I would rather
mow the lawn when they're a little bit older.
Have fun, you know.
You can make a game of it. Get him a riding mower.
Right.
My brother loved that when we were kids. My parents bought me this thing so I could mow the lawn. I could ride it. I can drive this thing. Like, he was so fucking
And he was actually working.
Well, when you're done mowing a lawn, there's an aesthetic sense of pleasure.
A sense of
accomplishment. Like, you've created something visually that's pretty.
Yeah.
It's kind of an art form. I used to work for a landscaper.
Did you? I fucking hated mowing a lawn. That was one of the hardest, annoying things.
I only worked for a landscaper for a whole week, and he let me go because I kept burning too many lawns. What I mean is you fuck up. You don't know how to use a lawnmower that well, and you scalp the lawn.
Yeah.
And I scalped a couple lawns, and he got mad at me. It was hard fucking work. And it paid pretty decent for what it was. But you worked every goddamn day from 6:30 in the morning. You showed up at work and you worked till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was a gang of fucking houses to mow. You had a whole route of houses and you had to mow their lawn and chop trees down. Shit, it's backbreaking fucking work. And everybody's a douchebag. You're working with mostly there was a few guys that were kind of cool, but there was a lot of there's a lot of resentment to anybody new that was coming along that might possibly take this shitty job away. It was real weird, man.
That's like some junkyard dog type of shit.
Labor's hard, man. Getting a job as a laborer in any sort of realm, construction, or that's one of the best ways to get motivated to get your shit together as a guy. Get a fucking job carrying bricks around all day.
Yeah.
You know, get a job where you realize what work really is, where you realize what it really feels like to be exhausted for $5 an hour.
Yeah.
$5 an hour and you're carrying bricks all day.
I would have no idea what that would be like ever.
It's the worst. Yeah. But it makes you, I think. Think about that shit all the time. If I ever think about not writing, or ever think about not working out or not getting in the tank or anything like that, I'll think about working on a construction site and carrying bricks and cinder blocks and bags of cement. I'll think about how hard that was.
I'm
like,
motivated.
What do I have to do? I just gotta get up and work at something awesome. Just get up, bitch. You know, it's like, this is a lot harder things you could be doing. If you don't have that experience though, of some fucking terrible thing, you know, like for you, when you were done with all the electrocutions up the asshole, going to regular porn must have been like, God damn, this is a cakewalk. All I have to do is blow somebody.
Well,
yeah. Now, actually, there's a little bit of a transition that's happening in porn right now where they're kind of going away from that, like, my blonde wife is getting fucked by 6 black guys to more of.
Wait a minute. Why are they stopping that? That's a fucking classic
thing. Well, it's being phased out now.
That's like making a cheeseburger out of taste.
Yeah, parodies.
They're making parodies. They're making romance movies that are like romancy novel, like rom-com type of.
How many vampire porns are there?
A lot. They did a True Blood parody at New Sensations.
Is porn anyway. It's just
Twilight parody they made. I don't know. They've made a parody of absolutely everything.
Yeah, some dude on my message board has an Avatar parody.
Everything.
And it's a girl. She's got the Avatar face and she's getting her mouth fucked.
Yeah.
And that's his Avatar.
Yeah.
Ugh.
They're going to do a new Avatar. It's going to be underwater. You heard about that show?
No way, really.
Yeah.
Have you seen that preview for this new movie where it's a bunch of chicks with guns on the poster?
Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? I haven't seen the preview yet, but the posters look amazing.
Watchmen-ish, yeah.
It's the same director.
Dude, that
looks badass. It looks complete fantasy, you know, crazy comic book type shit.
Yeah.
I like that, man.
Me too.
I don't need a movie to be realistic. Like, when people go why do you like fantasy movies and monster movies? I'm like, because that's what I want. I want to be entertained. I don't want you to depress me with some real story about a girl whose parents get killed in a car crash. Like, stop.
Yeah.
All right, stop pissing on my parade, dude. Show me some monsters and some lasers and some spaceships and aliens.
Yeah. Did you
aliens
ever see Scott Pilgrim? Did you ever end up?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Man, did you see it?
Yeah,
I rewatched that the other day. Loved it again. That is just a fun fucking movie.
Really?
I don't know if you would like it though. I don't know if you would like it, but
the entire time I was like, they don't even like each other. Stop hanging out.
What was the movie recently that you liked that I didn't like? Can you think of one?
I didn't really love Enter the Void, but
yeah,
I
wasn't into Enter the Void. But that's also because I've actually done DMT, and I'm like, this is the representation of it is so simple. And
well, there was a lot of problems with that movie, but I just thought it was cool, the visual effects.
What I thought was cool is the first person perspective. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I thought that
was cool. I felt like I was really that guy. You know, if you really got into it, I mean, like, well, I like seeing it through like almost like a video game, a first person shooter perspective.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of cool. There's parts of it I liked, but it was just too much.
I didn't see anything that was like Oscar movies. I did not see anything.
No, the King's Speech, is that about Martin Luther King, or what the fuck is that about? What is it about?
That's about a dog that barks.
No.
Yeah. Dog named King.
Yeah. Wears a big spike collar.
It's a talking dog movie, Brian.
It's a Rottweiler.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck it's about. I don't care. I don't want to see any movies. I'm waiting for Cowboys and Aliens. I don't want to see any movies that are real. This movie that I saw, Adjustment Bureau, totally science fiction, crazy fucking real. Good. Give me more of that. Give me more fake shit. I don't want to see real shit. That's not interesting to me. Like, here's a relationship that they had to get. Maybe if you want to throw me some crazy Godfather type gangster period piece where it's not today's reality. So, okay, I can get into that kind of. It's a long time ago reality, maybe. You know, but I'm not into any real movies where people get depressed in real life. Like, stop it.
I don't even watch movies that have people in them anymore. I just stick to just animations.
Yeah.
Like in that Megamind 3D movie, Tina Fey was like really hot as a cartoon.
Right.
And it was just like, cool, I can like think this girl's really super hot instead of like this shticky like, I'm not hot, Tina Fey. Ha ha, I wear glasses. I'm not hot.
Right.
First animated movie that I ever saw that was an adult movie was Wizards. Did you ever see Wizards?
Yeah, that shit was good. No. Back
it was great, man. I had it on DVD like really kind of recently. I can't find it. I was looking for it in my house. It's Ralph, what is his name? Bakshi?
Yeah.
I forget the guy's name.
The guy that did Death Dealer, right? Am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't know. It was just really cool science fiction, sort of futuristic animated movie. You know, they don't do too many of those, but they're pretty dope when they do. Like, did you ever see Heavy Metal?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That was badass,
I was in love with that chick in that movie.
Were you?
Yeah.
The Heavy Metal chick.
You know what's even funnier or awesomer is the Heavy Metal inspired South Park, where they redid the, like, pretty much Heavy Metal style cartoon, and, like, the whole animation looked like that. Did you ever see that episode?
It was fucking good.
No, I need to catch up on South Park's, man. I heard that they're going to do a Charlie Sheen parody, which I cannot fucking wait for. Of course they're going to. They could not.
They
know?
Love making fun of people.
Well, they're the best at it.
Are you on that?
No, I haven't been.
I think
on
they
that.
Made fun of you on that, maybe?
Maybe. No, I don't think American Dad has. If they did, I would be honored, as long as they weren't too cruel. Please, gentle. I'm a gentle soul and a big fan. But what they did to Carlos Mencia was the most ruthless shit I'd ever seen in my life. They beat him to death with a baseball bat and shoved frozen fish sticks in his neck
hole. That was so awesome.
Good.
But they were broken down, like, I got no dick.
You
know what it's like to be a comedian and not be funny? Fuck. It was the most ruthless takedown I've ever seen.
The Kanye was even funny, too. The gay fish.
They're genius, man. The fucking, how about the Tom Cruise trapped in the closet shit?
Yeah.
God damn, dude. They break everybody down. They're the best, man. There's nothing like them.
So we all agree.
Didn't what the fuck's his name? Isaac Hayes. He was the one who used to be the chef. Mm-hmm. Right. Is that who it was? Yeah. Was it Isaac Hayes?
Yeah.
Didn't he stop doing it when there was some sort of a show on Scientology?
Yeah.
That is so crazy. Isn't that fascinating?
But it was okay when they made fun of everybody else's lifestyle and religion and everything else.
Forever he
and now he's dead. That. So fuck you, Isaac Hayes. Whoa. Bam.
Maybe it wasn't even that.
Angry Dana Dearmon surfaces at the end of the podcast, folks. She shows her true colors. We're going to turn it around, Dana. We're going to put you on a positive path. You're going to be a successful stand-up comedian.
You're
a
year life from now, coach.
I'm going to be your life coach.
Jeez,
a year from now, we're going to be looking back at this moment. And then when I did the podcast, that's when it all fucking came together.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be a comedian. Doesn't it look
epiphany moment.
You should be goddamn invulnerable up there. Everything that you've done and how you've exposed publicly, you should be goddamn invulnerable up there. You're going to be a goddess. You're going to control and dominate. This is the beginning. Today. We launch!
It's so ridiculous.
No better way to end this fucking show.
It's so funny.
We will be back Thursday with young and talented Andy Dick will join us on the podcast.
Is he doing it from this studio or from your studio?
Mrs. Rogan is not excited about Andy Dick being over at the house. Right. So we might have to. But he has been sober for like 4 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah. There's know always tomorrow, though.
Yeah, well, the thing about Andy is you just never know when you're going to run into him with whiskey on his breath. And you're like, fuck.
He was at the AVN Awards. He got tossed out.
Right. Was he fucked up?
I don't know. I saw him and he was just like, whiskey, rah, or whatever.
Oh, really?
He was like,
so he was hammered. Oh, that's right.
I mean, I was. Vegas. I could only assume like we were doing some kind of a mirroring exercise where Andy, Dick, and I were doing the exact same thing.
He talked about it on the Greg Fitzsimmons show. He talked about it on Greg Fitzsimmons' Sirius show.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, that he just got out of control. And it was like the wheels fell off at the end. But it was a great time before mm-hmm. that. But then it looked so bad when people are looking back on it. Hmm. You know? Another thing, he had a really interesting
point. Well, you got to pay attention to what you look like if people know who you are. You know, basically.
If people know who you are? Yeah, but once you like, get drunk,
I go,
if you're an addict. You
know, but I go,
that.
Like, am I... Are both my shoes on? Or, like, am I... Have I said anything offensive or anything to anyone? Like, am I controlling myself? Like,
when you're partying. You're
yeah.
Saying, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I drank, yeah. like, 5 whiskey drinks, and I was wearing a gown, and, like, I waited until no one was around, and I took my dress off in the Mirage or the Palms parking structure, and I threw it in the back of my car and went back to my own hotel.
Naked?
I like... Just put on whatever is in my car.
You carry clothes around with you? Just in
all
case?
The time, yeah.
Never know.
Well, we were like in Vegas, so you know, you got shit
it's
everywhere.
It's good to have like a baseball hat, an extra pair of sunglasses,
like
and a t-shirt in your car.
I slept in a bowling alley last night in Canoga Park.
What?
I had
what?
It's a long story.
What?
It's a long
what?
Story.
Wait a minute. What, Andy Dick?
No, but it was so great because I had, not only did I have a coat because it was kind of cold, I had sleeping bags. I had airplane pillows from traveling so much. And it was great.
You slept in a bowling alley.
Yeah. How did parking you get lot of bowling alley.
What the fuck, Brian?
It was great. It was a good night.
Do you
good
get
night.
Too drunk?
Huh?
No.
I actually didn't even drink last night.
Was
yeah,
it
was
I think
weird.
Long story. Young lad is in love. I think perhaps,
No. It's not even that. No, it wasn't even that.
Perhaps.
You're in love
story.
With some girl
perhaps.
You met at the bowling alley?
No.
Perhaps.
No. It's a long story.
Perhaps young love in a parking lot. That's when you don't mind sleeping outside.
But you
no?
have a house.
When you're in love.
Huh? Yeah, but...
You get impractical when you're in love, Dana.
Oh.
I don't have to tell you that.
Maybe I'm dead inside and I'll never experience it. Maybe they were right. Commenters on YouTube.
Those motherfuckers. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend, Friday night and Saturday night, we are at the Comedy and Magic Club. Next week, Friday night at Gotham in New York City. Brian also has a podcast of his own. It's called The Death Squad. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. And Dana's been on it. Sam Tripoli's mm-hmm. on it all the time. It's a plethora of young, talented comedians, and they do a bunch of different podcasts. So it's not just one. And you can go on the iTunes page and find out which they are, or go to deathsquad.tv.
And just subscribe to Death Squad. Yeah. On iTunes.
And it's very highly ranked now. It's like in the top 20 of iTunes comedy. Yeah. So it's really good, too. It's really interesting. So we'll be back on Thursday, like I said, with Andy Dick. Thank you, everybody, for everything. And thanks for tuning in. And thanks for being just cool motherfuckers. All right. I love you.
Thank you.
Oh, go to fleshlight.com and
yeah.
go to joerogan.net. Enter in the codename Rogan. Get yourself some discounted jerk off material. Do you have a rubber fleshlight yet?
No, and I've been bringing it up every
we're
time.
We're connect you with them. We'll connect.
No.
I got a formal rejection letter from Fleshlight.
We'll make this happen,
just...
dude. You just got in with the right crowd.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
It could be like the extra big Fleshlight.
Fingers
for
crossed.
Your butthole, yeah. giant butthole one that
thanks,
you stick
guys.
Rocks in.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Jihad.